Blog Talk Radio.
This is Louis Martinet, and I listen every day to the Hair Radio Morning Show.
This is Crystal Jones Bond, and we are celebrating the Year of the Woman on the Hair Radio Show.
I don't know what time it is. Look at here. It's the Hair Morning Radio Hair Show with Gary Hines. It's your boy, Smooth Black. I just want to say, thank God for this company, y'all. Y'all better be blessed. The Hair Radio Nation going to the next level, y'all. Get it, 2021. God bless.
There's a well-known saying, home is where the heart is, and not just your heart, but your hair. Home Hair Solutions is an all-organic styling and conditioning product line that's available at SalonNiquelle.com. The HOME in Home Hair Solutions is an acronym. H is for hydration, O is for oil, M is for moisture, and E is for earth. It doesn't get much better than that. A complete line of cleansers and hair mounds that will keep your hair looking great and you feeling great about what you're using in your hair. Home Hair Solutions is the answer. Go to SalonNiquelle.com for more details. That's S-A-L-O-N, N like Nancy, I-Q-U-E-L.com.
Time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Gary Hines.
Welcome to the Hair Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio. He's the host with the most, Mr. Gary Hines.
Good morning, and welcome to an all-new live edition of the Hair Radio Morning Show. We're the longest-running daily live broadcast on hair in the world, 25 years and counting. Now, on today's broadcast, we've got the latest in hair and beauty talk, great music, and much, much more. I must thank our Carapi Hair Products, Hair Nation Expo Events, Salon TV Network, and all of our amazing advertisers who are responsible for getting this episode on the air. Now, if today is your first time tuning in, thank you. And remember to press 1 to make a live comment or shout-out during the show. We're here each weekday from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 5 to 8 Central. Now grab your cup of coffee and enjoy today's show.
Once upon a time, there was a little black girl in the Brewster Projects of Detroit, Michigan. At 15, she was spotted by an Ebony Fashion Fair talent scout, and her modeling career took off.
You better work.
Yeah.
Linda.
What, Mama?
Naomi.
She is pissed.
Christy.
Watch the lady out of sight.
Cindy.
I can feel it.
Claudia.
Sell the gun.
Nikki.
Work the runway, sweetie.
I have one thing to say. Sashay, Shantae, 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 Shantae. I have one thing to say. Sashay, Shantae, 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 Shantae.
Woo! It don't matter what you wear. It
don't matter what you wear.
They're checking out your step up, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And it don't matter what you do. Cause everything looks good on you.
One thing to say, you better work.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Carrie Hines.
Well, my target audience is going to be 50 plus. I am a woman of 50 plus, and I want to be able to have a platform for women 50 plus to be able to feel that they can recreate themselves. It's like almost a rediscovery. And a lot of times, too often, I hear women 50 plus say, I just want to retire, I'm tired, it's over for me. And I want to change that type of mindset to, and not really change the mindset, but just add to that by letting them know there's so many things they still can do at 50 plus, and all it takes is just having a platform of women coming together and sharing different perspectives, and I think that that is going to open the door for women 50 plus to know that there's so much more to us.
As women, it seems like we carry the weight of the world on our shoulders, and that weight is directly balanced between your 2 feet, and with this balancing act, who do you think is suffering? It's not the kids. It's your feet. While running errands, paying bills, or dodging traffic, you could be ruining your feet. Wearing the wrong shoes for the wrong period of time can cause more damage than you think. Hammer toe and bunions are the leading deformities in black women, and Dr. Yolanda Raglan is the first black and only female podiatrist with practices dedicated solely to the correction of these type of deformities. So let this black girl do some magic and fix your feet. For more information, visit fixyourfeet.com, providing medically necessary surgery with a cosmetic result.
You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. Now, we have a very, very special guest with us today. He's from the world of music. You know him well. The Hair Radio Morning Show would like to welcome the one and only Mr. Tony Terry. Good morning.
Hey,
yeah.
How are you? How's it going?
Well, I'm doing great. It is awesome to have you on the show. We finally got you here. Yeah, awesome. Well, listen, this music, your music, has touched so many folks. I'm raising my hand right now, folks out there. It has. It really has. It resonates with everybody. You've been, you know, you really put the time in, and you've had a remarkable career. So we're going to get into all of that. I'm going to find out what you're doing now. We want to know everything, Mr. Tony Terry.
All right. Okay.
All right.
The unsung version.
There you go. And by the way, I've heard some of that, and I've watched a lot of this and done my little research and all that stuff, so we're ready. The thing that that really jumps out at me, of course, everybody knows, you know, just one of your biggest hits, of course, was that amazing song, With You.
Mm-hmm. But before we get there, I want to talk about the first album.
Okay.
Because you had some hits on there.
I did. You know, it was really interesting, my journey to even putting out a first album, because I was... Let me give you the succinct version as tightly as I possibly can of what happened. So I had been in New York for a couple of years, and I had auditioned for the off-Broadway show Mom, I Want to Sing a few times and had gotten turned away. And the last time that I went, that I didn't want to go and didn't care if I was in the show at all at that point, of course, I made it.
Wow. You were probably in the version I saw, too.
Yeah.
I saw it one time.
I was in with Deatra Hicks was playing.
Yes.
I was probably there. And,
wow.
And so I did that for a few years, and I was about to just kind of, you know, just go home, actually, back to D.C., and I had decided that enough, you know, it wasn't really going the way that I wanted it to, and I was going to go back to D.C. And so maybe a day or two before I was supposed to leave, one of my buddies was like, we're going to see this band. And he took me to the Danceteria, which I don't think is open in New York anymore. And there was the place was packed. And there was this band playing, and they were good. And, you know, I'm young and, you know, cocky probably. And I told him after the set, and he came to ask me, you know, what I thought of his band, and I told him I thought they were great, except they were missing something, and that something was me. and so he was like, okay, here's your time to shine. So I started singing maybe a Luther Vandross song or something in this packed basement of this club, and this gentleman turned around, who I had never met before, but it turns out he was Ted Currier, and Ted. Claim to fame was Atomic Dog that he had produced, and George Clinton stuff, and he was one of the first DJs, if not the first DJs, to do live dance mixes in New York at 92 KTU.
Of course, KTU.
Yeah, back in the day, and but I didn't know all of that at this time, and so he gave me his card and asked me to give him a call, and I held on to his card. I didn't go back to D.C. I held on to his card maybe a week or so, and I called him late at night. I just, you know, figured that he was a musician like me and he was probably going to be working. And so I called him, and he was excited to hear from me, like, what took so long for me to call him? And he invited me to come over to a session he was working on. And I was in East Orange at the time. So I had to catch the bus to the path to the subway to 42nd Street, and then walk up.
See, and I understand that, and most of the folks in New York, New Jersey area, we know what you mean, and especially if you're in Jersey.
Right. It was a bit of a journey.
Okay,
so I finally get there, and I walk into the studio, and Ted has Parliament Funkadelic in there working.
Wow.
And I'm starstruck, mesmerized. You know, I hadn't seen anything like that before. I was a huge fan, I still am, of their work. And but let me say this. I understood what funk music really came from. And I'm just going to leave it there.
All right. I kind of got that. Okay.
I met one of my boys there who actually, his name was Daryl Moe. Daryl Moe was a young musician at the time who was in the very first show that brought me from D.C. to the area, to New Brunswick, actually, Crossroads Theater, where we were doing Black Nativity. And after about 4 weeks in of rehearsal, this young man in the band came up to me and said, I don't know about these other cats, but you are a star. And I never thought about that before. I never even considered, you know, I was a part of this crew that had came up to New Jersey from D.C., you know, in pursuit of our careers, in pursuit of our dreams. But to think that I was a star, I mean, I was in the ensemble, you know, to be picked out by anybody probably at that age and recognize that, you know, something as big as being considered a star would be like, wow.
So huge.
Yeah, and something I had not even considered, even though I had been pursuing this thing of being an entertainer for a long time. Didn't never really think be a star. Just wanted to work.
Wow.
And so after the show was over, I started working with him, and we wrote my very first demo. It was called Don't Hold Back. And he and I, and he shopped it to Ted Curry. I played it for Ted Curry. Ted thought it was a great record, and then that started it. So I came down to the studio, and he had Parliament in there, and he said, Daryl said, Ted, if you put Tony, if you put my boy in the booth, you'll fire all them jokers. You know, he's like typical New Yorkian kind of energy.
Yeah.
And so Ted was like, really? Well, let's see. And I'm thinking, really? Seriously, Daryl? And so he puts me in the booth, sure enough. And
you were ready.
And I was ready, and he did fire the Parliament. And I did end up doing that project for the Boogie Boys on Capitol Records called Survival of the Freshest. And it was actually the first R&B album, I mean the first rap record that incorporated R&B hooks. It started that whole thing. And
that's amazing.
I mean, at the time I didn't realize it was so amazing.
That is.
I didn't.
Wow.
And so while I was recording, Ted's wife says, Tony, she spoke a lot like Michelet. Tony,
okay. Yeah.
Really little mousy voice.
Yeah, no more lies. Yeah.
Right.
Oh, yeah, we know her well.
You know, really small voice, and she has to come in and sing for this group of people that were in one of the rooms. And I didn't think to be nervous. I was already in there recording. I didn't know who they were, so I didn't have a problem walking into the room and singing, you know, a song for them. And so I did, and it turns out that those people were management at Capitol Records, and they offered me a deal right away. Seven albums.
Holy cow. That's unheard of. That's astounding.
I know.
It kind of was unheard of then. I mean, seven.
It was unheard of then. And,
absolutely.
Which, again, I didn't know that I was auditioning. So I wasn't nervous. I wasn't, you know, I wasn't anxious. I was warmed up. I was ready for this. And that's what happened. And so the gentleman who would be responsible for me in terms of A&R was fired soon after I was signed. And their intention was for me to delve into Nat King Cole's catalog and record and, you know, restructure or find some of these classics. And I was 19, 20, so I didn't
Because he was the main Capitol big-time artist.
But
wasn't
I was
ignorant to
built Capitol Records.
Right, exactly.
And I was ignorant to that fact at that time.
Wow.
And I was just not interested in recording Nat King Cole's catalog. Now, in retrospect, I think that probably would have been a good idea to consider. I don't know what it would have been, but, you know, at least to give it a shot. But I wasn't really – I didn't think that I had enough – you know, I was like, Nat King Cole, come on, I was 19. So you can imagine, I just was not in the Nat King Cole frame of mind.
Well, listen, it took Natalie a while herself to record Nat King Cole, to tackle Nat King Cole's music, so I can understand that.
But now, you know, I can hear it. Mona Lisa, Mona Lisa, men have named you. I can hear it.
Wow.
But then I couldn't.
Amazing.
And so the guy was fired, and he was rehired at Epic. His name is Don Grierson, and he convinced Epic to buy my contract from Capitol before I even sang a note.
That is amazing.
It's like, wow, so all this money, all these, you know, is it really that much money? Did they really pay that much money to buy me from them in terms of my contract? Because when you say buy me, it kind of sounds a little weird. But
no, we get it. Wow.
Buy my contract, and so When I was moved over to Epic, I was there with Michael Jackson, Luther Vandross, Tina Marie.
Wasn't that Sony, or didn't it become Sony,
it was Sony Epic, and they also had Columbia at the time. They had Mariah Carey on the other side, on the Columbia side.
Oh, my God.
So it was like, this guy, they have signed me, and then once they had me over there, they didn't know what to do. Like, well, okay, we got him, now what? And it turns out that the head of the A&R department at Epic was Johnny Gill's godfather. And all he talked about was Johnny Gill all day, every day. And so it was clear that I was not going to get his full attention.
You weren't going to be, right.
Yeah. And then we put out She's Fly, and it caught everybody by surprise. No one expected it, and there was like, okay, we see something, but not sure what yet. And then it was Lovey Dovey, and
She's Fly was a huge, like you said, a huge hit. That's a top 10 hit.
It was, but they still weren't convinced. The label wasn't convinced, and somebody's calling me. I should have had my phone on Do Not Disturb. I'll call them back. Will ignore them.
That's okay.
Anyway,
that's all
anyway,
right.
So it just went on, you know. So we had three singles off of the first album: She's Fly, Lovey Dovey, actually four, and Forever Yours, which was the title cut.
Yes.
And then we had, I believe, Young Love was on that first album as well.
And Lovey Dovey charted even higher than
it did.
She's Fly, so that's amazing.
It did.
Yeah.
It did. Okay, so now it's time for the second album. And the first.
But were you nervous, though? Because everybody always says about the sophomore thing, or what is it, the sophomore slump thing and this and that.
You know when they say ignorance is bliss. I didn't know anything about all of that. I did know it as it related to theater, because usually opening night is the adrenaline.
I never knew that it related to theater. That's amazing.
Because usually the night after opening night is they call it after opening night blues. Because the second night is usually not nearly as good as the opening night.
Wow.
And then it picks
Thank
up.
You
the
educated me. Thank you. Oh, you really have. And I appreciate that.
Yeah.
I'll tell you why later.
Yeah. It's time to choose the first single from the second album, which was self-titled, was Head Over Heels. And it was time to choose the second single, and I had chosen With You. And the label didn't agree. They called me in for a meeting.
I can't believe they didn't agree. But
they did not
agree.
I mean, they were, I wouldn't say forceful, but, you know, they stood where they stood. They didn't think it was a good idea.
Adamant.
And I just wouldn't let it go. I was like, nope. I think it should be With You. And they couldn't. And in fact, I remember clearly hearing the president at the time, of the label say, Tone, only Stevie Wonder could get away with a song like this. I was like, yeah, okay, well, let's just see. And so they put it out. But I think that in an effort to teach me a lesson, they put out With You with, you know, back in the day, there was a whole setup. You know, there was a rollout for a single or an artist, you know, the whole setup thing, which did not happen for With You. And it was also
like the promotion that goes along with it when the record is released.
Didn't happen. And when they, you know, your promotion, your marketing team that actually services radio, which happens on usually one day a week, and if you can imagine back in the day, there were 40 or so major labels. So you have 40 reps from those labels going to, let's say, WBLS, and they probably have only 5 slots for new singles this week. But you got 40 people vying for those 5 slots. Okay. So my record was serviced to radio with no information on it.
It was a
blank label, which to me would have made it stand out even more, because you're getting a plain label, unmarked vinyl 12-inch single from Epic Records. What could that be? And you don't put anything on
it. It might have worked in favor.
I believe it did, because then With You started to live. It started without any support from them. There was not going to be a video. There was none of that. And then one day I happened to walk into my manager's office, and the phone was ringing, and our receptionist had gone to the bathroom or something. I don't know. She wasn't there. And I answered the phone, and it was Anita Baker. She was looking for me. And I didn't
Superstar
know Anita Baker.
Anita Baker was calling herself.
Herself. She was like, this is Anita Baker, and I'm looking for Tony Terry. And I'm thinking, get out. First of all, just couldn't possibly be Anita Baker.
Well, had you guys worked together or anything?
I didn't, I did not know her.
Wow.
I had never met her before. I never even had a conversation with her before that moment.
Wow.
And I was a fan of hers, but, you know,
of course,
I didn't know her.
Yeah.
So she called, and I honestly did not believe that I was speaking to Anita Baker. But I went along with it, okay?
Right.
And but it would have made sense because she was calling my office, and actually our receptionist would have taken the call, and then it probably would have gone to my managers and then maybe gotten
to that point. It would have gone to a few folks, right?
Yeah. But I got the call. And
wow.
And then she was like, Tony, this is Tony? I was like, yeah, this is Tony. And she said, I was awakened last night, one of the most beautiful songs I've ever heard in my life. And I had done The Party Machine, which used to come on after the Arsenio Hall show.
I think I remember that.
Yeah. And she said, what is going on? And I was like, well, first of all, thank you for, you know, calling. I still wasn't sure, convinced that I was talking to Anita Baker, but I, you know, I went on to tell her that,
mm-hmm.
you know, I appreciated the phone call and, you know, thank you for, you know, enjoying the music. And there was not going to be a video because the label didn't think it was a hit. And she was like, what? Those people wouldn't know a hit if it hit them in the forehead. And she said, she made another comment. I don't know if I should repeat it, but I'm going to say it because she said, I'm on the label with Keith Washington, and Keith could not shine your shoes.
Okay, we might, Keith, might, if you're out there listening, Keith, we still said, love you.
I love Keith. He's one of my boys.
Nice,
I understand
yeah.
what Miss Ray
yeah,
said
no,
to me.
No, we,
and I thought, wow.
Absolutely.
She said, you know, why? What, I don't understand. And so, listen, Tony, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to send you $50,000. And I want you to shoot the video. I need to see a video. And I was like, what?
Wow.
What am I supposed to, like, how do I pay you back? How do we do this? She's like, don't even worry about it. Just blow up. Just be the star that you are. Just be the star that you are and, you know, And then the check came, certified, for $50,000. And she said she was going to call Blair Underwood because she wanted him to direct. Turns out, With You was his directorial debut. And he was in it. And it was if you've seen the video, it's because...
seen it? We've worn it out.
Because, you know, yes. I call her my guardian angel because... And you know what's really interesting? Because moving forward 20, 25 years, the Monique Show, which was... being recorded here in Atlanta at the WB, I think it was. And I had been on as a guest and performed, and we had heard that Anita Baker was coming. And my mother-in-law is and was a huge fan. And, of course, so are we. So I contacted the show and told them I wanted to come back and, you know, be in the audience when she came, and they put us on the front row. And so she comes out, and she sings her song, you know, and she's all into it. She got her eyes closed, and just at the end of the song, she sings, sweet love, don't you ever go away. And she opens her eyes, and we make eye contact, and she sees me, and I can see her recognize me. I saw that in her in her expression. And then they cut to commercial, and she calls Monique over, and they clearly are having a conversation that I would think was about me because they were looking at me. And so it comes back from the commercial break, and Monique says, you know, during the commercial break, Miss Baker told me this story about, you know, giving this brother here, this young man, Tony Terry, and she introduced me, you know, $50,000 to shoot the video for With You. And then she asked Miss Baker, why did you do that? And she said, I was being obedient to the spirit. I was compelled to do it. And I thought, wow.
I'm speechless. That's amazing.
I thought, wow. You know, to first hear the spirit speak to you and then you move because you felt like you didn't have a choice. You had to do it or that you would be, you know, not, you know, disobeying, you know, whatever it was. She felt compelled to do so. And I was really moved by it. She never wanted anything back. She just wanted to honor what she was led to do. It was on her spirit to do so, and she did it. And I just thought that that was really a powerful thing. And then, of course,
that was amazing. That's huge.
Yeah, and then when With You began to, you know, live, and the video was out, and you know, started moving up the charts, and then of course the label was like, oh yeah, we knew this was a brilliant artist from the very beginning, you know. And then I'm looking at them like, I know you didn't just say
that. That is funny.
And it was then that I learned, or quickly, about the politics, because at that point, even though they had zero interest in the record, I had to let them claim, you know, the responsibility
for
its success, because, you know, if I didn't, if I had made a big stink about it, then, you know, it's just, it's politics. And it's an ego-driven business, and, you know, okay, all right, y'all did it. I'm so glad I'm signed with Epic. Two thumbs up.
Well, that song, I'm just still blown away by the fact that they could not detect that. Well, how can you be an A&R or this or that or whatever it was, a music executive, and without, you know, just not having that little certain something? I mean, I don't understand that.
It didn't fit the song structure of the day.
Of what they had.
It was different. And, you know, the chorus didn't repeat the way choruses typically do on R&B records.
Right.
And I wasn't necessarily, while I was singing my face off, or at least I thought I was, it wasn't in a traditional R&B kind of way.
It wasn't formulaic, which is, to them, you know.
I thought it was, you know, just not a good move to do. And then it turned out to be like, it overshadowed
everything. An
amazing
song. Which has stood the test of time.
Yeah, I mean, people, when I sing songs like, you know, Lovey Dovey or She's Fly or Head Over Heels, people are like, oh, I forgot he sang that song.
Exactly.
You know?
But once you hear it, exactly.
Right. You know, With You came in and just took over. And then all of a sudden, I was this balladeer.
I'm a crooner. That song, I could play it like literally a good 3 times in a row. I mean, I just love it so much. And just like all of our, you know, our listeners out there, this is something that's really huge. And, you know, I was watching, I think you did a piece with someone, and it just hit me because these songs really, when people say, and I know, you know, we get a chance to have a lot of wonderful artists like yourself to come on the show, but when we say that our lives are really shaped by your music, we really need it.
That's really the truth. And it's not something that I take for granted. I have been asked to sing at homegoing services. To sing with you. And I'd be like, well,
really?
It's a little bit weird.
Wow.
And then they would say, this was the song that I sang to my child when my child was a baby. And, you know, it was our favorite song. And so then I felt, then it gave it a whole kind of weight. And, you know, I know that honestly has nothing to do with me. I say to God be the glory, because, you know, I recognize that to have the ability to affect people on an emotional level is spiritual. And that does not come from me. It comes through me. And I'm just grateful that I was gifted in such a way that I can affect people. And it's humbling. It's not something that swells me up with pride. It's humbling that, you know, that I have it, and I'm grateful. And I always say, to God be the glory.
Well, Tony, I have to say, just even in you telling the story, I was like, no, I'm thinking to myself, I would have been so upset, you know, just the fact that we might not have heard that record. Like, that is enough to just, I'm like, okay, I'm going to have to get over that. Yeah. But that really tells you a lot, you know. So, folks, if you're just joining us, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to the All New Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. Now, today we have a very special guest with us today. As you know, we always bring you the very latest with some of the amazing artists that are out there. And today absolutely is no exception. Mr. Tony Terry is with us, and we are just so pleased. Good morning again, Tony, and again, welcome to the show.
Again, thank you for having me, Carrie. I love
yes.
it.
Yes,
you know,
no,
it's
really
refreshing when interviewers kind of know how to interview because, you know, you have not asked one typical question yet, and I like that.
Oh, you're very kind. Well, I appreciate that. You know, I really do. I have to tell you, and just even kind of going back a little bit, one of the things that kind of got to me a little bit, I saw something where you had indicated that, like, when you kind of were starting out, and you were working, I used to work, like, I'm from, you know, Jersey and Philly and New York and Jersey and all that stuff. So I was aware of the summer youth employment folks. In fact, they still owe me a certificate award to this day. But I remember them, and I heard something, and you had worked for them as well, which kind of was your unofficial paying start in the industry.
Yeah,
and I just love that story so much.
Yeah,
so please tell us a little bit more about that, because that's how you got started.
It is. You know, I was one day watching television, and this super exciting show came on called Fame, about a high school
of
performing arts. And, you know, there were artists, there were dancers dancing in the hallway, there were musicians practicing, you know, on the lawn outside. There were actors working on scenes. There were visual artists painting on the walls inside the school. And there were singers, you know, having voice lessons. And I thought, wow, you can do that in school? And it took a minute to process. And then I found out that there was a school like that in D.C., the Duke Ellington School
wow.
of the Arts.
Amazing.
And, I the first year I asked my mom could I audition because we didn't live in D.C. We lived in Maryland, in Landover, Maryland. And it would have meant a commute. And the first year I asked my mother, she said, no.
Oh, my.
I mean,
wow.
Unequivocally, no. but what? No. Okay. Because I said so. It was one of those. And and so I didn't. But the next year, I went and auditioned, and I was so green. I had never auditioned before for anything, and I didn't know how to audition. And I thought that I would take a record with me, and I had an album of Jeffrey Osborne.
Oh.
And I was going to sing along with it. That was going to be my audition. That's how green I was.
Wow.
No one told me how to audition for anything. So I go into Duke Ellington. And for my audition, and I say, okay, where's the record player?
Oh,
so they were like, that's not how we
right.
do it. And so I was like, well, how do you do it?
Wow.
And so they asked me if I had a song prepared, and of course I did. And I sang it, and I just happened to sing it a cappella, and they let me in.
Well, I have to say that is amazing.
They let me in, and I was terribly excited, and then I told my mother I auditioned.
What did she say?
She actually, after I auditioned, I told her, I said, Mom, I'm going to Duke Ellington this year. And she said, oh, okay. Like, I probably said it with, you know, like, I'm sure I said it with so much confidence because I was already in.
Right.
And I knew that, you know, like, my parents had supported me my whole life. And they knew that it was, you know, that singing was a passion for me. And so she didn't resist. And I was surprised that she didn't resist. But it meant
wow.
that I was going to have to stay with my aunt in D.C., which she welcomed me with open arms. With
that
her three other children in the hood. In the very seed of the scornful.
She
didn't lose any one of us. Nobody ever went into the system. Nobody ever got in trouble. Nobody ever. So she became this iconic person in the hood because no one messed with her children because they respected her.
I love that. Well, I've got to tell you. You go ahead, please.
Yeah. So I went in. I got to Duke Ellington, and it was the best time. It was the time that I learned. You know, we had a longer than normal school day, and we would do academics during the day, and then we would focus on our particular arts in the afternoon. And, you know, it was then that I learned about, you know, 8-hour rehearsals and longer, getting it until we get it right. We're going to do it until we get it right. And then the opportunity to audition for and do the street theater, which Mike Malone, one of the founders of the Duke Ellington School of the Arts, also ran by way of the D.C. Youth Employment Program under Marion Barry, who the city, if he was alive today, he could probably be mayor now if he was alive.
Yeah, didn't even circle back again after some issues and things.
He did.
Wow.
And when he passed away, it was, you know, they shut the city down just to honor him.
Yeah, that was huge. Yeah, I remember that.
And so that was the start. And I mean, and then at the end of my, which I was able to do 2 years of before I cycled out in terms of my age, and Mike Malone, who was one of the founders of the Duke Ellington School, along with Peggy Cooper Kafritz, who were also professors at Howard University, he came to me and he put his hand on my shoulder. I will never forget. And he said, "You're ready."
Wow.
"You're ready. And you can go. You go to New York with my blessing because you're ready." And I thought, wow, I got Mike Malone's stamp of approval. I mean, that means I'm really ready. And
now let me tell you something. Let me tell you, Tony Terry, it is not easy to get even into the high schools. I myself, real quick, I'm going to just jump right on here to tell you. But no, I applied to the high school. They had just opened the Performing Arts High School in Philadelphia.
Right.
My audition, I was so nervous that I screwed it up. So I never got in. So I just, when I hear stories and folks like you and you know, and Jasmine Sullivan went to the one in Philadelphia. And so it just stays with me so very much. So I love, and I know exactly what you're talking about. Because
yeah,
I love
being green and not being ready and nervous.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know,
the whole thing.
Staring at the clock on the back of the room, at the wall, just trying to get through it, all of that.
Yeah, and I keep hearing Debbie Allen. What was that line? Right
sweat
here.
It starts here with sweat. And
that
and
line,
I,
really?
And
wow.
Yeah, and listen, and then I found out that Fame, the TV show, while it was set in New York, was actually based on what was going on at Duke Ellington.
No, you're kidding me. I never knew
no,
that.
No, I'm not. Debbie Allen was a teacher at Duke Ellington School of the Arts.
Really?
Yeah.
Hold it. Is that right?
That's absolutely
100%,
yes.
That says it all. Full circle. That's amazing. I did see Leroy, the one that played Leroy. God rest his soul, he passed away. But I remember seeing him out in Los Angeles. I remember hanging out one day. I saw him out there. But
he was
talented all the way through.
And a live wire. A live wire.
Yeah, absolutely. So what do you say, Tony Terry, to these folks, you know, to the youngsters who are coming up? And have you had a chance to work with the, you know, the upcoming talent?
Some, you know, actually, that's really, really a good question because I have mixed feelings about encouraging people to enter this business, especially young females, because it is an ego-driven business, and mostly men and women, especially young girls, are taken advantage of more so than not. And they will go as far as to get to the threshold of success and then nothing. And then they're left to pick up the pieces of their lives and move on and then pull it together and find something else to do when you realize that your dream of being a star is not going to happen. And it's heartbreaking, but it happens more than you could imagine. There was a young lady that was trending recently that was shining a light on a lot of things in the music business. And I do not know her, Jaguar Wright.
Oh, okay. But we've seen her name.
A lot of the things that she said had some validity to them.
Wow.
It's really real. And
and she tells it like it is. Let me just, for those of you who have not heard of her yet, and a lot of folks have, she really puts it on out there. But
straight no chaser.
Yeah,
straight
she no really. That's all I'm going to say. So, but it's good to know that there's some credence to it, right?
Absolutely. I would not want to I would not want to release my 14, 15, 16-year-old daughter into the hands of, you know, anybody and not be there.
Well, you know, but can we say that back in the day, we just weren't aware of these things? You know, we just heard of an opportunity, and you all, you know, and you would have to think that you're almost, you know, I hate to say, but some of those, the parents, you know, they're getting all this money and stuff, they might have had felt that they needed to turn a blind eye or whatever they call it, you know. It's just heartbreaking, the whole thing,
It is heartbreaking, and, you know, for years and years and years, that kind of thing has gone on, and it's, you know, no one has said anything, and not only the parents have turned a blind eye because they might get a check for $50,000, which might be way more than they even make in a year. You know, $50,000 to someone who has nothing is a lot of money. $50,000 to someone who has money is nothing.
Right, exactly.
And so, you know,
so
money,
you were reluctant, you know.
I would be reluctant because, you know, I know that, like, a young female artist is really, 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 really tough. And I can't even stress it enough, you know, and I would suggest, you know, never ever to be in a room alone with men if you're by yourself. I would suggest never drinking in public because, you know, you don't know what somebody can slip into your drink. I would suggest never smoking in public if that's something that you like to do. Do it in the privacy of your own home, in your own space where you're safe, because people generally in this business are not so nice.
Wow. Well, you heard it right from Mr. Tony Terry. Recording artist superstar. Wow.
And it's a hard pill to swallow because it's a business that I love. It's a business that I love and still have passion for it. And, you know, want to, you know, I've been fortunate in that I've been able to continue working, but not for lack of working hard, because I put in my time, I put in my effort, and it's always about growing and improving and evolving. And never thinking that I know it all. And I'm willing to learn.
Well, you have the best disposition I've talked to in a long time when it comes to the music business, I have to tell you. Tony, I do want to ask you about one thing that entered my mind, and that is the acting part. Now, how did you kind of make that bridge across from the music over to the acting, and then kind of merging the two with maybe the, you know, like Mama, I Want to Sing and all that kind of stuff? How did that come about with the acting?
Well, it actually happened in reverse. It started with the acting. I mean, I grew up singing in church, but, you know, I was trained in musical theater and, you know, acting and singing to combine.
Goes together, right?
I didn't know that it was going to be the music that would catapult me into, you know, the hearts and minds of people. Because again, for me, it was just about having the opportunity to share. I always call it sharing because it's sharing. It's sharing, know, with people, the music, the experience. And I just didn't know how it was going to happen. I never really thought about it. I just wanted to be ready for whatever it was. Does that make any sense?
Absolutely. But what crosses my mind, see, back in the day, I remember quite often if you came out as a singer, if that's where you kind of blew up from that, then, you know, I don't know whether it was the public thing or the executives or whatever, they wanted to only pigeonhole. That's all that you got to do was to, you know, to sing. Or, if you start as an actor, then that was it, and they knew you know, you blew up, that was it.
You couldn't be a singer if you're an actor.
You could not.
Right.
You could not.
Right, and you couldn't be a gospel singer if you were an R&B singer.
Exactly.
And Aretha Franklin was just kind of like, you know, she just broke the mold because she decided that, you know, I'm a singer. I grew up in a church. You can't really tell me what I can't sing.
I don't know how they could ever tell Aretha anything. Aretha was Aretha.
Right.
She was Miss Aretha, let me tell you. But I'll tell you, I really, and it shocks me because to me, artists are not usually one-trick pony type folks.
Right.
You know, a lot of folks who are so creative and so talented, they're talented across the spectrum usually.
Yeah.
And so so these days, we get to see that a lot more.
Yes. Well, you know, I think that has a lot to do with, one, the whittling down of all of the major industry. You know,
yes,
there's now probably
true.
Now four major labels.
Right.
And pretty much everybody we know has a smartphone and a laptop. And you can get it done in your living room. Anybody can be a producer, if you will. Or at least they think they can.
Right.
Not understanding that, you know, the most successful ones are studied and they know what they're,
absolutely.
And it's not by chance. But, you know, people decide that they want to pluck away and then sometimes they come up with some magic. Magic is happening. And with the internet, you have access to the world. Just like any major label. And so it kind of levels the playing field in a whole lot of ways. I remember in the 80s, my manager telling me, Tone, it's going to be digital. I'm telling you, it's going to be digital.
Really?
and I'd be like, okay, Bob, I hear you, man, but you have to keep saying it like that.
Well, but that's amazing, though. Back in the 80s, they knew?
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah. He was like, you better be ready. Better get on board.
Wow.
Better get on board early.
Wow. So these days, because of that, a lot of, you know, way back when you had to shop, you know, demos and this and that to, you know, every label, you know, from here to L.A. Nowadays, like you said, you could basically just kind of put your cell phone out there.
Yeah, you can.
You know, across social media.
It's all about money. You absolutely can. There have been many people that have succeeded just because they were on Instagram or they just, you know, and their video went viral or something. And you know, there are also artists. You know, the world is bigger than the United States, and that's what the internet brings to you. It brings you the entire world. I know of artists that have sold 100 million records, and we've never heard their record one time, not once.
That is amazing.
In America, but, you know, they're living large, doing well, succeeding, and we know nothing about it. And there are lots of stories like that.
Wow. You are very inspirational. Folks, let me just bring everybody up to speed here. You know, thank you so much for being part of this, Mr. Tony Terry. You guys, we're listening to the one and only Mr. Tony Terry. He is a music superstar, and we are so honored. Now, I want to talk about your current project. I want to hear all about your new single, what's going on. Tell our listeners.
Right before COVID started, I signed a new recording deal, and it's been actually very stressful from that
Congratulations,
moment.
Congratulations, too,
well,
by the way.
Thank you. However, before I signed my record deal, I'm a recording artist, so I'm always recording. And so I recorded this song called Born to Love You, and I just kind of put it in the pile of other things that I recorded. I'm my own worst critic. So one of my brothers, he tells me all the time, he's like, Tone, man, Your worst work is better than a whole lot of people's best work. You got to
wow.
stop being so hard on yourself. You got to really kind of like loosen up a little bit. But you know, I am a bit of a, I wouldn't say a perfectionist, but you know, I want it to be right. I want it to feel right. And so I recorded Born to Love You and just kind of put it in the pile. And then I started addressing this new record deal that had been presented to me, and I'm spending a lot of energy getting this record deal worked out, negotiating it. And in the meantime, I had asked one of my partners who owns the label if he thought this particular record was a hit. And he called me back within 30 seconds. He was like, man, not only is it a hit, but I got you, I want to put it out on my label. And
wow.
So on a handshake, I gave him, you know, a small percentage of the publishing, and he went running with it. And it turned into a hit record for me. And I was over here trying on one side, negotiating to the point of just absolute frustration. And then on the other hand, I have a record over here that's taking off, and I didn't even realize it was happening because I wasn't paying attention. I wasn't paying attention.
This is unbelievable. And I became born to love you.
Yeah, yeah.
Awesome.
And so it turns out the record deal I walked away from, and Born to Love You, I started putting all my energy in, and then to the next situation that we're about to release two singles now with the same company, my brother Adrian Meeks at Song Source Music Group. I have two singles, one called Your Love Is All I Need, which is a very powerful ballad, and then another one that's kind of puts you in the mind frame of Marvin Gaye's Inner City Blues, Make You Wanna Holler. And
wow.
it's called Brighter Day. And it speaks about, you know, what's happening. And the chorus suggests that if they would just know your name, then I know that you would release us from these chains. So we talk about, you know, just recognizing who our source is and where the power of love comes from. And if we could as a collective do that, then a lot of the problems that we have could kind of absolve themselves.
That's right. That's right. But folks don't see so clearly as that, I don't think.
No. It's an idealist concept.
Yes. But a good one.
But at least but when you plant the seed, though, you got to plant the seed.
Exactly.
For people to at least start thinking about it.
This is true.
And some people don't even understand that, you know, they might hear a song. Have you ever heard a song that you didn't like, and then you hear it so much that you start singing it?
Yes. Well, in
you
the
know,
old
so,
days, especially, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so the seed is planted.
Right.
And then it starts to take root. And then before you know it, you're bobbing to that concept that you couldn't stand 2 weeks ago.
That's right. Or you hear it years later, and you love it then.
Right. Yeah.
Usually.
I have a specific situation that has happened. In 2001,
yeah.
I released an album, and the single that we released, which has a weird title called Freaky Little Game, we could not get arrested with that record. I mean, nobody was even interested in even hearing
wow.
it. And then I went back to D.C. years, 20 years later. I mean, it was 2020 now. We're talking about 2000. So this was just a couple of years ago when I went back. And I went to a club, and the band was playing my song.
That is
that
unreal.
That particular song. And I was like, well, how is it that y'all are playing this song? And he said, bruh, every band in town plays this song. What? How is that possible? How is that possible that every band in town plays this song? They're like, this song is so dope. I couldn't even believe it until I saw it for myself. So when I played City Winery in D.C., and I had prepared to perform the song. And when I did, the whole energy of the building shifted. I couldn't understand it. I'm like, well, when I put this record out back in 2000, y'all weren't interested. What happened? what happened?
Is that not something you see?
Yeah,
that's right.
It's amazing.
Or you listen with new ears later, or I don't even know if you can describe how, you know, what that
is. I don't, but I'll take it.
Exactly. Well, I'm loving it. Well, listen, I have to say, first of all, Tony, now, you have just been just doing some huge things. You've always done huge things. You've never fallen, like, in my opinion, fallen off and, you know, just forget all about music and all that. You stayed with it, and you really have, and just you have a legacy. And so this is amazing, and that's, you know, that's very moving. So I just want to thank you on my behalf and, you know, and all the listeners that we have out there just for what you're doing, you know, because we try to get you guys on. We love that you all are still, you know, very much in me. You're still relevant. Let me just put it that way, because that's the word everybody's using these days.
Yeah, you know, it's about, you know, when you say relevant and, you know, reinventing, along with signing the New Deal, I started doing, because soon after the COVID thing struck the country and our calendars were cleared, I started needing something to do. And I started singing on my Facebook page. Initially I titled it Chilling at the House Just Like Everybody Else. Every Tuesday I was there, chilling at the house just like everybody else. And then it turned into Tony Terry Tuesday. And since March, every Tuesday I go online at 9 o'clock on my fan page, and just for an hour, sometimes it goes 2 hours, just depending on how I feel, and just music, classics, Tony Terry songs. And it has become this thing that became way bigger than I even ever thought about it being. You know, one occasion we had 90,000 people watching live. And for me, that was huge.
That is huge.
Because when I first started, you know, I would have 100, 150 people, you know, for the first few weeks. And for it to grow into this thing that has, you know, become so important to the people that come in and check me out every Tuesday, it's just been amazing. So it started out as therapy for me and turned into something that was therapeutic for my fans. And they would call me inbox me and say, you know, I lost a relative today and your performance tonight has, you know, pulled me through it. And, you know, I mean, those kinds of things make it bigger than me. So even when I don't even feel like going on, I go on because I know that it's bigger than me and it's not about me, and that I'm being of service to in the little way that I can. Like the little drummer boy, all he had was his drums. All he had, that's all he had to offer. But what I have is my voice, and if it helps and if it provides just a moment of a distraction, of comfort, then, you know, that's a blessing for me.
You are just one of the most grounded individuals I think we've chatted with in a very long time here on this show. I'm just blown away, Tony Terry. I really am. Very, very grounded. I'm taking that you have a great balance with home life and professional world, which is awesome. You know, you have to be, just to be so, just, I just the humility. It's great.
Well,
the
people that I hang around with, Do not mind checking me, as I
they let you
mind,
know if you get a big head,
and I don't mind checking them.
No, I love it. I love it. It works both ways.
Yeah, it does. And you know, I've always charged. I've always believed that friendship comes with responsibility, and because of that, I have a small network of friends that we hold each other accountable, and we pour into each other. Otherwise, I can't imagine why we would be friends. Like if we're not bringing something of value to each other, at the end of the day, if my interaction with you does not make me better in some way, then I'm kind of wasting my time. And so, therefore, I have to put you in the acquaintance pile, and the friendship pile.
Exactly.
You know, has to, because friendship is a gift, not only from you but from the other person that you receive it from. It's a gift. And that comes with something. That means something. And a lot of people take it for granted. So, you know, my grounding, I think, comes from, you know, my family. Like, my mom has no problem telling me to take the trash out and bust them suds in the kitchen. No problem at all. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So when you have that, you know, you can't help but just
be. You can't help but be grounded.
it takes a lot of energy to keep an ego inflated. And I would just rather, it's easier to just, you know, be who I really am.
Now, I want to ask you about some shout-outs. I have to, of course, shout out the amazing David Pick-Gondley for helping to make some connections. Just awesome. From, you guys know him, and he's been on our show from Surface. Now we know that you guys might be doing some things, and I'm not going to ask just what or anything, because it may not be ready yet, or you may not be ready to talk about it, but whenever, are you able to give us a little, you know, a little bit of some of the details on it just yet, or you want to come back?
Well, Pick asked me if I would sing some of their songs over for a project that he was doing. He was going to re-record his songs, but you know, he's a flautist. And
yes.
he was intending to re-record the songs, and he asked me if I would sing the hook. And I did. And when we started laying them down, it just felt like, so I just said, you know, hey, let me take a pass at the lead. And when I did, he was like, you know, we have to go ahead and record that, right?
That's it, exactly. Wow.
And we did, and it turned out to be the beginning of what would be Resurface. And that is me singing those great songs with Pick. And I'm just honored that he would have me, you know, to do them. I'm honored that he is, you know, wants me to do them, and they sound great. And so Shower Me With Your Love is the first song that we've done. It's finished. And then we're going to do
song.
Only You Can Make Me Happy.
All right.
Yeah, I'm really excited about that. And then we're also doing, where I'm going to feature Pick on my project, is I've never been interested in doing this before, is to re-cut with you.
Wow.
But I heard this absolutely brilliant production that Pick came up with for a relaunch of the song that made me say, I have to do it. I would just as soon leave well enough alone. There's no need to bother it. But this production says, let's get her done. And so we're going to do that.
Well, you heard it right here first on the Hair Radio Morning Show. So I'm so honored. I really am. And is there anyone that you would like to shout out to?
Well, I mean, you know, just my crew, who have been loyal and helping keep things together. We've developed some really important things. We're taping a new show called Conversations with Kings, and which I'm super excited about. And it's not even a show. It's really a peek in that allows viewers to see men interact with each other in a way that we are not talking about necessarily cars, women, and sports, but life matters. Matters of the heart. Toxic masculinity. I mean, things that really matter that go beneath the surface that men generally don't talk about in an environment that is conducive for us all to feel comfortable and just have real conversations with each other. And we've already recorded an episode that is so powerful that I cannot wait for the world to see, because, you know, we have been conditioned not to share our feelings.
That's right.
We've been conditioned not to be emotional beings when we are as emotional being as our counterparts, as the women in our lives. But you know, we've been conditioned to believe that an expression of
especially
emotion
in our community
makes you soft.
Right.
And we don't understand that it really does take a big man to let the pain show. And it takes bigger man to let that pain go.
That's right. Wow.
Yeah. So we're shining the light on that. I'm very proud of it. And it's going to be coming very soon, maybe to a network near you. But, you know, we have been blessed with the opportunity to be a part of a new platform here called CLS TV, which is basically our own network. And,
really?
Yeah, and so which makes us responsible for the content that we supply, that we provide, and even that journey, that this venture, which is a new facet of my career, is very interesting. I'm looking forward to it.
Well, we hope you'll come back and keep us informed right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. We're loving it.
I will, Carrie. I will, Carrie.
Amazing things. We just wish you nothing but big success. Big success out there to continue on that huge journey that you have started so many years ago, and just done some amazing things. And we're really proud, and I'm just honored to get an opportunity to have you on my show. So this
thank
is,
you. It's
this
been my
great.
Pleasure. It's really been my pleasure. I see some food that just came in, so I'm gonna have to cut you off.
All right.
Here.
That's all right, Tony Terry. Thank you. I hear you. Listen, enjoy Tony Terry. You guys know a couple new singles out there. Born to Love You. Look for that. We'll be in touch. Thank
and
you for being
with us.
Gospel
songs out too. We got some gospel music out there too. Check it out.
Awesome. All right, folks.
Be well, Terry. Thank you, man. Thanks
you
for having
likewise.
Me.
Keep it right here. We've got more of the Hair Radio Morning Show to go. Stay with us.
Just like that.
honey, I love you.
Hi, everybody, it's Carrie Hines, and in honor of our 600th episode celebration, we're playing some of our classic interviews and sharing some behind-the-scenes stories right here at the Hair Radio Morning Show. Now, the Hair Radio Morning Show has chronicled our lives, mixing great hair and beauty talk with current events and shaping each broadcast with music and special guests. I want to thank you. And to our amazing sponsors and advertisers. Now, let's take a listen back together.
Good morning.
Okay.
I want to give a shout out to Tony Terry for a great job well done on a hair radio show with Carrie Hines this morning. I really enjoyed it.
Time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Carrie Hines.
All right, we're back live. You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. It's Wednesday morning, July 28th of 2021. It's our show number 592, and I am bringing to the line all the way from Maryland the one and only my favorite new co-host, Tara. Good morning, Tara, in the morning. Good morning.
Good
As
morning,
As if I have
Carrie,
many different
morning.
Co-hosts. Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning,
How
Carrie.
Are you doing?
Good morning. I am doing amazing. Good morning to all of our beautiful listeners. Oh, my gosh, we have
Absolutely. So
much information to get to. We're going to have a great show. We're
yes.
going to get to our Let Your Spirit Soar. We're going to listen to some amazing music. But for now, we're going to turn it back over to you, Carrie.
Thank you so much, Tara. Well, listen, as you said, we do have a very big show today. Coming up at 8:30 this morning is Smooth Black. He's been with us many times in the past. He
yes.
is a legendary hairstylist, and I want to be clear about this. His name is Troy Ballard, and everybody knows him in the industry. He's been out there, like I said, for
mm-hmm.
decades doing hair, but all different stylings. I remember I had Smooth Black on once before, and, you know, some folks are not necessarily in the hair and beauty industry. They might
mm-hmm.
still hold on to old tropes and old stereotypes, thinking that men only do barbering and women do hairstyling, which
mm-hmm.
is obviously just really stereotypical and just so passe and old thinking. But someone actually was on our show once. and we had to have an education of sorts right here on the airwaves, which we do every day.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not to hold on to these stereotypes, but kind of examine why we have some of these thoughts and all that kind of stuff. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. Also, what's
awesome.
Happening in the news this morning. So, you know, lots of wonderful things. We just had on, if you guys are just tuning in, you might have missed the amazing interview that we had with Mr. Tony Terry, a singing artist, and we're just wishing him so well out there. He's an awesome, awesome performer.
Oh, my gosh.
And,
he's
from,
incredible.
Yeah. Is he not amazing? Now, he is a throwback to the 90s. I think you
yes,
guys
he
heard
is.
That With You song. But
mm-hmm.
I have to say, I love that period of music when it comes to R&B.
Mm-hmm.
And all
yeah.
of that. There's kind of a lot of folks are borrowing from that these days. And
yes.
Mm-hmm. I love Tony's story. His story is he's from kind of like a cross between, you know, you and us out here, you and me out here. I think
yeah.
he was out from probably more so the D.C. area, but then
he
also is very familiar with the, you know, New York, New Jersey and all that kind of stuff. So
mm-hmm.
really good
mm-hmm.
stuff. Happy to have him on board. And so many artists
yeah.
who've dropped by
yeah.
this broadcast. So
yeah.
So
and
with you, yes, go right ahead, Tara.
Yeah, and you know, I heard that broadcast, and, you know, he mentioned the City Winery, which is an amazing spot. I've been down there a couple times, and they're really, really known for having a lot of artists there from the 90s. You know, I've gone to hear several artists. Yeah, and I remember when he came, but I think I had an event or something. My husband said, "Are we getting tickets?" And I said, "Oh my gosh, I would love to go see him." And I missed him, but the people there are amazing. It is packed to the house, and when I say they get so involved with the singing and just everything that happens in that place, it's like an experience like no other. So the Citywide, I'm just giving them a shout out today in DC. I love you guys. Keep doing what you're doing. And, you know, just to piggyback on what you said, that video with you, you know, some people may not know, but that was actually directed by Blair Underwood.
Well, he's in the video. So
he
folks,
made a cameo appearance.
Yes.
That's one of my favorite videos. Yeah. Yeah, a lot of people may not know that. Yes, love Blair Underwood.
Well, you know what?
Yes.
I have to say, Tony Terry tells, listen to all the teas. Tony Terry tells the story to us on the air when because remember he was saying that the folks at the record label didn't necessarily want to put up the funds to produce the video that you love.
Mm-hmm.
So
as
it turns out, he said that the one and only Anita Baker gave him $50,000. I'm like, can I dial up Anita's number too?
Look, I'll just take a small seed. just a small seed, Anita, if you're out there listening to us.
Yes, exactly. Because that's exactly what happened, Tara. She was listening to the radio late one night and heard his song. Which it is a very special song. It doesn't sound like, like you said, it doesn't sound like the music, so much other music. It's written a little differently in how they construct it and all of that. And his voice was just perfect for it. So that's
so
the With
smooth.
You song, folks. So,
so
we wish Tony Terry well.
Song. Yes,
too.
Love
and so, yes, he's awesome. Well, listen, today, now I have an interview that I dug up, and I really want to get this on a little bit. We'll get it on a little bit later this morning, but it's one of my favorites, or in the next hour. And it's with a lady who has been on our show many times. She's a hairstylist, and her name is Captain Smash. Okay, so you'll have to bear with me in this explanation, folks.
Okay.
But what she does, she is a going-home specialist, and I had never heard of this. Now, I'm not talking about a hairstylist who just works at a funeral home. I'm talking about someone in different parts of the country. You know, I'm in New York, you're out in Maryland, and folks in different areas have different things that they do. That's just how it is, regional things that they do. That it's not just national. But in this case, she is a going-home specialist. And what a going-home specialist does, they do work in tandem with the funeral homes, but it's about kind of like staging the deceased person. Maybe the person likes to play cards or something, so they'll be sitting at a table and that kind of thing. So instead of a traditional funeral, they would have the people come into the house where the person might have lived, and the person is just sitting looking like they were when they were alive, so to speak. So this wonderful lady, Captain Smash, was on our show several times, and there was one particular incident. She's out in the Indianapolis, Indiana area, for you guys who would like to know. And she tells the story of runaway horses that she it's just a story like no other. It made the news, literally, the Fox News and all this stuff on TV. So, yeah, she shares the whole story with us. So I found this interview, and I want to put it on. So I want you guys to take a listen. We'll get it on a little bit, maybe a little before 8 o'clock this morning. So, and then coming up at 8:30, as I mentioned, it's Troy Ballard, a.k.a. Smooth Black. We're going to get him on the line. He's all the way out in Southern California. So and he's a good person. If you have questions about hair care, about beauty, all that kind of stuff, hair, he specializes cuts and cutting real sharp lines and all of that, as well as coloring. Something I think you heard me mention before, it's not, you know, there's a stereotype that we're not known in the African-American community for coloring and cutting.
Yes, absolutely.
That's just I don't know if it is mythical or it's just a stereotype. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But he flies
mm-hmm.
that in the face because he is a specialist at all of that. And
mm-hmm.
he studied barbering also, so he knows that. It's not that he's not a barber. He also
knows
barbering. He knows the whole thing. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And what I love about Smooth Black, Troy Ballard, is that he takes the time to teach others. So he takes the time
mm-hmm.
to really go in and share and teach others. Now, I want to talk with you, Tara. Did you happen to think about the vet show? What did you think yesterday? For those of you just listening in, Tuesdays at 8:30, just like today, you have Smooth Black on Wednesday at 8:30
mm-hmm.
Eastern Time, 7:30 Central. We have on Tuesdays the Vet Talk Radio Show. So what did you think
mm-hmm.
of Michael and his angels that we talked about?
That show was really, really fascinating. They talked about so many topics. You know,
yes.
you know, my daughter and her new husband, you know, they're in the military, and they're the only ones I have in my family mm-hmm. that are in the military. I remember Nord talking about, you know, all the family members that she has in the military, her dad and her husband and her cousins and, you know, just all that they've gone through, you know, dealing with the system and, you know, just moving here and just moving there and, you know,
well,
how it's
you know
just
what,
hard to just make friends and just, you know,
exactly,
it was incredible.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, Tara, mm-hmm. I have to tell you, I didn't share it on the air yesterday, but I remember that same thing.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up with my sister's husband was in the military.
Wow.
So, so I totally, what I do love about the Vet Talk Radio Show is that they hit it on the head, that the families, what the family goes through, obviously
yes.
the person in the service deals with a whole bunch that we haven't even delved into
yeah.
yet
mm-hmm.
on the show.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking forward to Michael and Michael Hopkins talking about that along with his team, the Angels. But for me, I remember being a little boy. And when you're a little kid, go off for a couple of years to a different country, to me it sounded like they were going to the moon. And it
yeah.
seemed like the 2 years they were gone was forever. I mean,
mm-hmm.
it just dragged. I used to hate so much when they would leave. It was
mm-hmm.
just awful because it was
yeah.
my sister, her husband, and their two little kids. You know, but I was a little kid too. We were all little kids. And so
right.
it was really crazy, and you could not, you don't know as a child how to process that. So I'm sure there was some
mm-hmm.
version of what they call separation anxiety forming
yes.
that makes,
yes.
it's probably still something that you're dealing with today without realizing it. So
yeah.
I just think it's
yeah.
a lot when it comes to, you know, all of that kind of thing. So you guys tune in. If you know veterans, if you are a veteran, I love that Michael also talked about claims processing, which is something
yes,
I knew nothing about.
Yes. And
I was very impressed
down,
with that.
Yeah. Yeah. He knows the stuff. Listen,
he does.
He knows
absolutely.
The stuff. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if you didn't catch his show yesterday, again, it's on every Tuesday live at 7:30 in the morning. I'm sorry, 8:30 in the morning Eastern
yes.
time, 7:30 Central time, exactly, right here on this very broadcast.
Mm-hmm.
Then you can still catch the show. In his case, you can catch the broadcast he did Tuesday on
yeah.
Saturday over at our 24-hour network. We have a streaming network, which means
mm-hmm.
that we broadcast just like your radio station. You know how you turn to a radio station in the old days?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we have
yeah.
our own 24-hour radio streaming network. And on that network, we play all kinds of shows. We play music. We have some wonderful good stuff starting. You can catch Michael's show played again on Saturdays at 1 o'clock New York time, noon Central time. So that's 1 o'clock Eastern, noon Central time. So please catch it. Again, it's called Vet Talk Radio, and you won't be disappointed. Great to have everybody tune in. It's radio that you can
yes.
listen to. That's what I love about our station.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody can sit around and enjoy, or on the go. You can take it with you. You listen online and carry it with you on the radio, you know, on your
mm-hmm.
cell phone or what have you.
Absolutely.
Really good stuff. Yes. Now, I do want to mention one other thing on Tony Terry. I remember in his interview, he was talking about men not sharing so much, and he had started a new TV series where he's mm-hmm. on with several guys. Well, we have a new podcast that kind of delves into the same subject matter. It's by one of our advertisers here, you know, the folks at Rugged Evolution Beard Care.
Yes.
Rugged Evolution Beard Care. We just love them, and I love saying that Rugged Evolution Beard Care.
I love
well,
that.
Well, listen, is that not fun? It does.
Yeah.
It absolutely
it does. It really does.
And mm-hmm. yes, and their website, ruggedevo.com. So if mm-hmm. you want to check them out, please go there. But what I am most impressed with these days is that they have launched their own podcast. So they have a podcast where they have guys talking about things that are important to guys. And so I enjoyed it. I listened to the first episode, and I cannot wait to share that with you on our 24-hour network. So each week we'll bring you a new episode of Rugged Evolution. The gentleman over there, his first name is Arrington, and Arrington is just so talented. And we shout mm-hmm. Arrington out, Dee, and the whole team over at Rugged Evolution Beer Care, and we just love them. They've been with us for a long, long time here as ongoing advertisers and sponsors. And
mm-hmm.
So really good stuff. So check it
yeah,
out.
That's
and,
great.
Yeah, we'll kind of let you guys know. So we'll get it on the air for next week to roll out this amazing new podcast. And then overnight hours, from midnight to like 7 in the morning, 9 in the morning, we will start to utilize that programming time to run a late
okay.
night show. So if you're a late
oh,
night
wow.
person, yeah,
mm-hmm.
we'd love to test you out and see what you've got. And we are going to get all that programming filled in. So it's going to be just awesome. Right now we're running some of our broadcasts, some of our – boy, we have enough broadcasts to run for eternity.
Yes.
As we're about to – yeah, we're closing in on our 600th
yeah.
show.
Yes.
So, Tara,
yes.
when you hear 600 three-hour broadcasts, what do you think about –
I say it again, and I said it before, and I'll say it again. That is a lot of conversation, live conversation. We're not talking about pre-recorded. We're talking about live conversation. And I just want to tell you, Terry, mm-hmm. I am just so honored just to come on this radio station and to be a part during this great celebration, because I could have, you know, come here at any time. But for the show, almost 600, and to be a part of that, this is revolutionary. I'm serious. This is just such an honor. 600 shows.
I agree.
Here.
Yeah. 600 broadcasts. And,
yes.
Well, thank you so very kindly.
You deserve
and we 20 appreciate
bows.
That.
Yes. That's
oh,
awesome.
Well, you know what it is? It's with dedication to the industry. I wanted to mm-hmm. be that voice that was a real cohesive voice. Not just,
mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of folks in the hair and beauty industry, we have different factions. We've got the natural folks over there on the left, over in the middle, and we got the relaxed folks over on the right. We've got the this
mm-hmm.
and this. We've got the Caucasian hair here. We've got the black hair here. We've got the Asian. We got all these different variables that kind of go and comprise the hair industry.
Yes.
But we are really about education and information and
yes.
being the resource tool that I just love. So
mm-hmm.
we've always tried to stay neutral to some degree. We want the common thread to be healthy hair. And that's what we've always tried
yes.
to bring about, and I'm super excited about it. So that's kind of what, you know, what's going on. So
and that shows.
We've,
yeah.
Yeah, well, thank you. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I look at our upcoming live hair event in Atlantic City. It's scheduled for October 23rd,
yes,
24th,
and
25th. 3 days.
Down. Yeah, it's
yes,
winding
it's winding down.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in the Northeast, Tara, it's the only 3-day live hair event.
Oh,
so for of African Americans,
yes,
yes, that feature Africans. Let me see that.
Only
so,
yes, it's going to
yes.
be incredible.
So I'm real excited.
Yes,
I agree.
Get your ticket.
And Smooth Black.
Get your ticket.
Yes, get your
yes.
Get those tickets, please, over at Eventbrite.com.
Yes. Yes.
So, yes, very good stuff. So, listen, Tara, let's talk a little bit in just a moment. Let's take a little commercial break. But when we come back, I want to ask your thoughts on Miss Simone Biles. She's all over the news today.
Oh, just hurt my heart.
So,
yeah.
Well, we're going to jump in right after this commercial break. So, folks, stay with us here at Hair Radio.
Yes.
Okay, we'll be right back. Here's the All Natural Corner commercial. We'll be right back.
Welcome, people.
At the All Natural
Corner. We are the All Natural Corner. 12,000 rooms. We cater to all natural body treatments, body products, skin care at the All Natural Corner. Yeah, we got things for health, wealth. Why not make your beauty more beautiful? At the All Natural Corner. We got soursop, moringa.
At the All Natural Corner. At the All Natural Corner.
Everything that makes your body.
At the All Natural Corner.
This is the All Natural Corner, 12 Charleston Road, Willenboro, New Jersey, 080-46-267-670-9457. We got all natural products. We love the community.
At the All Natural Corner.
Yes, I was there and I talked to the manager and he let me know that all natural products was good for my body. He had 102 minerals for me and I was good, you know. I'm going to come back all the time because it's all right at the All Natural Corner. I can't say anything else.
Now you can listen to our 24/7 Hair Radio Broadcast Network and shop all in the same place. Go to hairradio.com. We've got around-the-clock hair and beauty radio talk. And while you're there, buy your favorite books, hair products, tickets to live hair and beauty events, and much more. And if you'd like to feature your products in our hairradio.com website store or be a guest on the Hair Radio Broadcast Network, contact us at hairradio.com and reach the world.
This is Crystal Jones Bond, and we are celebrating the Year of the Woman on the Hair Radio Show.
It's time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Carrie Hines.
All right, we're back live. You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. It is Wednesday morning. It's July 28th. July 28th of 2021. My goodness. Show number 592 today. And I'm bringing back my one and only wonderful new co-host, Tara, in the morning. Tara, good morning
again to you. Good morning, Carrie.
Right.
Good morning.
Yes, good morning. Well, listen, I have to say, we are just jumping this morning. We've been talking a lot on the air about so many wonderful things, so many updates for everybody in our shows.
Yes.
So many things, but the news, have you watched the TV news? And we should also say,
yes.
Have you listened to the news on our stuff? But
yes.
We'll go ahead and give TV a little tap today. So What have you thought? We teased right before the commercial that we were going to talk about the gymnast, the most decorated, I think, gymnast of all time, Simone Biles.
She is.
What do you think about this whole thing? I see every time I turn on the TV, is what will Simone do and what is she saying about retiring? When did this is it just a slow news cycle or is this really big news?
It's a little bit of both. It's a little bit of slow news because it's unfolding as it's happening. So we're getting it as it's being said, as it's being done, because remember, this is now happening at the Olympics.
Okay,
it's slowly unfolding in front of our eyes.
And that's
so
all the way in Japan.
I would definitely agree with that. It is all the way in Tokyo for the 2020 Olympics. Yeah.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Now, that's the interesting part to begin with, because every time I hear them say 2020, I'm thinking, why didn't they just call it the 2021 Olympics? But I guess you go ahead, Tara. Let me ask you, why do you think I couldn't figure it out?
And I think because we had that year, that delay, sort of conda, that's what I'm assuming, you know, but and everyone was like that, like, why should not 2021? But they kept with the 2020. So you know, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think I understand it because, you know, for us, we've had to kind of postpone our hair shows and our events for a while. So I can relate. For us, we have a little bit more room to work with, so we could rename our events, you know, and all that wonderful stuff. I just think about it. How about if I had, like, if I called our upcoming hair show, because it was postponed from 2021. I'm sorry, from 2020. Mm-hmm. Wow. From 2020. So if I called it the 2020 hair show, I think folks are kind of like they might find that interesting. I don't think we'd have so many folks buying tickets for a show that's already happened in their mind. But I get it. I totally get it. As far as the Olympics, because I'm not a big Olympics person, but I believe that it comes around every 4 years or so.
It does.
Am I right? And it's making
it
huge news. Now, the honest
truth,
the
whole thing, you know.
You don't?
I really love the opening ceremonies and the closing ceremonies. That's when I'm glued. Mm. And the most important parts, you know, like the gymnasts, I'll watch that. For the most part, I'll just wait for the news to come on and see which Team USA got the gold, and I'm good with that.
Well, in some, yes, and I kind of like that. I do remember torch
just
lighting.
Tell me who won in the morning.
Oh, okay. Well, you are like me. I'm like, well, don't even bother to tell me at all. but I will say this. I absolutely love this phenom named Simone Ariane Biles. And I love her name. Ariane is just a beautiful name. Yes. She's an American artistic gymnast. And she's just, and it says here, with a combined total of 30 Olympic and world championships. 30. Wow.
Yeah.
Biles is the most decorated American gymnast and is regarded to be the greatest gymnast of all time, the most greatest and dominant gymnast of all time.
Yes.
So that's
absolutely
basically what this is all about. Now, my other thing with I love Simone and the tennis star, the young African-American tennis star. I think she's mixed. But my thing is that they're talking about the importance of mental responsibility and being able to know when you have mentally had enough. We all know physically when we've had enough because we're just flat on our backs. Well, not being in charge mentally you can also end up kind of flat on your back as well. But I love that. Yeah, right. And I love that she's seemingly taking a break. What do you want to tell folks about that, Tara?
That is exactly right. You know, I watched it. I think she was on there probably about 3 days ago. You know, we're only 5 days in, and she was on there about
it.
Maybe
like
3 days
ago. It
seems
like it's been much longer.
I know. You said that a couple of days ago.
Absolutely.
And, you know, she did her flips, and you know, the turns were okay, but when she landed on her feet, I think she took about 4 or 5 steps backwards, and she jumped back in place. And anybody who knows Simone and watches her do her routine and, you know, the whole nine, she is always on her game. You know, she's all, and so you can look at her and say, okay, something's not right here. So she made the decision to withdraw from Team USA, you know, but she was going to go forward, you know, and continue to, you know, do her thing. And then they just announced that she withdrew from the all-around competition. So she will not be performing at all in the Olympics, but she did decide to stay. For the Olympics, you know, at Tokyo. She's not going home. She's not leaving. She's going to stay and support her team, you know. So she decided to drop out of the event due to a medical issue. And then she finally came out and did a full interview and said that, you know, she deals with mental illness and her mental health right now is paramount, is at stake, and that's what she needs to deal with, you know. So it's
okay,
really,
now, did
really
she say mental illness?
Let me
just be clear, because I didn't catch the part where she outright said mental illness, but I know that she had some things to make being mentally focused and being accountable for that.
Health,
and the center, right, mental health, I think, is what she was really saying. Mental illness is a whole other thing, I think, to a different level,
and,
perhaps.
And she said that she's dealt with depression, you know, from, you know, all the stuff that she went through with that Larry Nassar stuff and, you know, really suppressing that and really not dealing with that in a healthy way. And that has affected
that was the whole doctor
so
thing.
That was
yeah,
the
that
whole
was the doctor,
doctor
thing that kind of came to the surface a while ago. But let's go back a little bit, because you had mentioned that, you know, she felt something wasn't right and she wasn't on her game. A lot of this has to do with these athletes. Over there in Japan, right now, they don't even have an audience. They don't have an audience that is live right there. And so she has said she's always used to looking in the stands and being in, you know, and get a little spurt of inspiration from seeing her parents right there. But if you're looking at a monitor, it's not quite the same thing.
It's not the same because you need that support system.
Yeah, you need that. I always say you need a pod of five. You need five folks to support you to make it, at least. And so if you don't have that, and for her, it seems like that is been really the critical part. So I just, we are sending all kinds of support. We're sending it her way. We wish her so well. There are not even enough words to say what, you know, she feels like, the, according to her words, she said the weight of the world on her shoulders. I can certainly relate to that, and I think we don't entirely understand, because she's out in the stratosphere with her success. But being having this kind of weight and everybody looking at you, you can't make even a misstep, you know, without the world jumping on you. It's we wish her well. We're gonna say that. We're sending love from the Hair Radio Morning Show.
And she's only 24, you know. She's only 24. Her career is not over. You know, she will be back, and she's going to be stronger and healthier than ever. So I am looking forward.
I was still sitting on the couch, Tara, at 24. So she is off winning medals and coaching, you know, helping her team to win. We wish her nothing but the best. Listen, we are going to jump right on, and we're going to take a little bit. We gotta keep the commercials coming for a bit. And then I want to say, on the other side of this commercial, that interview with Captain Smash, I want you to pay attention to that this morning. We're going to talk about it for a couple minutes. We're going to talk about it on the other side of this. And then, in fact, I think we'll just jump right on in, because I do want to talk about it. And then Smooth Black is on it about 8:30 Eastern time this morning. So we're going to just try to get it started. Stay with us, folks. We've got a lot more to go this morning on Hair Radio.
digital downloads of your favorite episodes of Hairpreneurs are available for just $4.99 at hairradio.com's website store. Buy your own audio download and get the tips to help you build your hair business.
Well, okay, here's Captain Smash.
You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. We have a very special guest with us today. You guys know her. She's been with us before. Her name is Captain Smash. Now, she has an amazing story to tell you. It made headlines out in Indianapolis, Indiana, just this past year. And we are so excited to welcome her back to the show, but this time to tell the story. The Hair Radio Morning Show would like to welcome the superstar, Captain Smash. Welcome back. Good morning.
Well, hello.
Yes, yes, hello to you. And all of the listeners out there, you've just made such an impact with everyone. And we're going to tell everybody just why and how you have resonated with so much, with so many, I should say, right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. So first of all, let's talk about some of the things that you've been up to. But before we get into that, Captain Smash, I want to give folks a little bit of background. Now, you are a hairstylist, a licensed cosmetologist. You have folks that you service in several states, but mainly we're talking about out in Indianapolis, Indiana, and also you're known in Jacksonville, Florida. Now, on top of that, you're what's called a custom tailor. And so you provide special services to those who do not wish to have a traditional funeral at a funeral home, and you work in conjunction with the funeral home. Can you tell us a little bit more about what exactly a custom tailor is and how it all comes to, you know, how does it all work? Share that with us again.
A tailor is someone as in an accessory. You know, let's just use it metaphorically, saying, you know, when you get that vehicle, but you have to have, you know, it come with tires and seats and things like that, but you want rims, you want color, you want, you know, those things. So in this business realm, that's who I am. I'm the accessory. So you don't want the traditional base prepping you. You want your last going home to be just who you are, whimsical, magnificent. You want to be at your best. And that's what I try to bring forth, the best.
Now, for folks who have never heard of a custom tailor or going home service such as what you've just described, this is something, as you point out, where it kind of almost shows the person as the way they were remembered, or or the family would like them to be remembered, which was. Now, this is usually a little bit less expensive than a traditional funeral. Am I correct in saying that?
Yes, yes.
Okay. Well,
depending on area, location, you know, a lot of, you have a group of people that are not really churchgoers, or, you know, that wouldn't per se to have a traditional church homegoing service because, you know, they're not church people. They're not, or for the young people that are not church people, you can have this homegoing in your home, a private service, and would come and rearrange the home, and the family would cook, eat, whatever you're going to do in those 2 to 3 hours, and then to the burial place or to the cremation or whatever have you, that's at your limits of funding.
Wow. Okay. Well, listen, folks, if you've just joined us, you're listening to the All New Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm really happy to have back with us the one and only Captain Smash. And she's really been a big part of the Hair Radio Morning Show success by sharing what she does with everyone across the country, literally around the world. Captain Smash, you've kindly explained about a custom tailor and a going home service, and everybody has heard your commercial right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. But now, there was a situation that made literally big news around the country, but it was an event that happened out in Indianapolis, Indiana, where you are based. And this pretty much, this occurred last year, but it's a story that I never could shake or get out of my mind. Now, it tells the story. It all kind of starts where you, Captain Smash, were hired as a custom tailor to work with the family as part of their wishes and a going home service for a young lady who was killed. Her name is Jasmine, a young woman who was killed, kind of like in the wrong place at the wrong time. And I want you to kind of, you know, tell us a little bit about this whole process. And I think it's, let's just kind of start with at the beginning, of course, and that's the woman was killed, you know, just, you know, like we said, at the wrong place at the wrong time. You were hired to take on the services, but at the actual going home service, now, where was the going home service? Not the part, the actual going home service. Where was that? Was that at a home or a funeral place?
No, that
where?
Was inside the funeral place. Like, you can rent a secluded room to have your service in. Like I said,
okay, so that's kind of how this whole story kicks off, where they were having a service for this young woman.
A private service. That being said, as the tailor, you know, if the family is saying, "Hey, it's a private service. We don't need security, or we don't need." You know, X, Y, Z, because it's a private service. It's just going to be immediate family, loved ones. Okay.
Well, and this moves it along perfectly in the setup. So the part of this that kind of really is just mind-blowing is that at this private service, gunfire breaks out. And the reason that it was reported on the news is that the gunfire broke out because the young lady who passed away, whose funeral, you know, she was the decedent, the story goes that it was a reported gang member was her cousin. This was reported by the news. And so they're saying that the rival gang of, you know, the rival gang came after her cousin, who was a reported or disputed gang member or, you know, alleged gang member, I guess we should say. And so several individuals were shot. About three different persons were shot. No reports of anyone being further, you know, no one else dying in this particular incident. But just a strange story. Now, that is just the middle part of this amazing story. So it picks up with our very special guest, Captain Smash, who is then telling us. So from the house, now the gunfire breaks out, but the gunfire breaks out where? The gunfire doesn't break out at the house, does it?
No.
Okay, so
no.
You guys go
it
from the house.
Out.
Right, but you go from the house to where the burial site?
To the burial site, that is correct. Along the way, my job, my position as the tailor is to be with the accessories, which is the horse and carriage, of course, that's chauffeuring the body, of course, and the groundsmen of that area, the location, just the whole piece of things, okay? So this would be groundbreaking for those ones that are cosmetologists, estheticians, whatever you are, in this business realm, behind the scenes. is so critical that you are just say well conditioned, because these things happen, and then behind these things, if you're not prepared, or I was prepared or well equipped, you will be blamed for things such as this matter when it outbreaks. Because no one wants to be responsible, especially not the funeral home. They're absolutely not going to. And I had a lot of backlash behind
me. Well, before we get to that, because this is a very interesting story, and it takes several turns, you guys, I think the critical part here, you go over to the burial site. So we're talking about you as the custom tailor, as the tailor, you're working in tandem with the funeral home folks. Describe for us what the family of Jasmine intended, Jasmine Moore, what they intended to be, what they wanted to happen. So there was, describe for us what the family first wanted it to be, how beautiful it actually, what had been meant.
A private service. She was beautiful. She had her hair done. She had her makeup. She had, you know, her dress. There was flowers, white and purple, and she was beautiful. It was everything. She the casket, horse and carriage, private service. So
okay, and this is the key part. You said a horse and carriage. Now tell the fans of the Hair Radio Morning Show, yes. So the body was inside of like a, kind of like a, you know, a,
like
and the back of the horse, you know, being led by the horses.
For her sake, it was on top. She had like a fancy glass drapering visual, and then like a covering over it. Okay?
And how many horses?
Two.
Okay. So now this was, what was supposed to happen with the horses? It was just supposed to go, yes.
They're transporting her. They're transporting her, you know, like the funeral line, the funeral service, and it's elegant, okay? And it's just beautiful. It was just peace and beautiful.
Yes, but they
so
were transporting her.
Transporting her,
from,
her on there. So this is where
from the funeral location.
Exactly. So she's
the
not in a vehicle, a hearse car. She's not in a vehicle. She's up on this horse and carriage.
Okay, so it wasn't enclosed or anything. It's just out in the open, a casket essentially.
Yes, inside, slid in the surface. So she's latched on in there, okay? But as we proceed to that gravesite, I mean, you know, we're pulling in. So some of the cars that are ahead, she's kind of like in the middle. You see what I'm saying? Because there's cars ahead, and they're already pulling over, and they're already getting out and walking up to the location, and she's arriving.
Okay.
She's
got
arriving,
it.
Okay?
And at that moment,
two vehicles back, okay? At this moment, whatever goes on ahead, an altercation, whatever it is, gunfire strikes out, okay? As we do, as normal people, we're scared, we're running, the horse takes off. Both of them, they take off. They jet off out in the middle of traffic. At this point, it's chaos because there's still gunfire and people are hollering, screaming. There's children. There's older people. I mean, children, youngest to babies. Her children are there.
And runaway horses with a body.
Yes.
Wow. Oh, my. I had to just let that kind of sink in and get the visual on that. Now, this story, as we said, Captain Smash, made news
it had already been a news story for just the way that the poor woman Jasmine died. That she was in the wrong place at the wrong time and was the victim of gunfire to begin with. And then on top of that, at her funeral, to have gunfire break out when they were transporting her body, and then to have the horses run away with the body literally. So this is just, I've never heard of anything quite like this in all the years of doing the Hair Radio Morning Show. Now, how far did the horses get to before they were kind of, you know, reined in or before they stopped?
I want to say maybe 2 miles because...
2 miles? Hold
it. Yeah, I mean,
make sure we understand.
They're not running slow. They're in fear. They're terrified. You understand? And...
And the folks out there in Indianapolis saw literally horses running with a body on top on the road
so
for about 2 miles.
So much so that when it happened, people start going live. And it started going live because people are going live like they're shooting at that funeral or that funeral line is, you know, the horse, like, is in complete chaos, and technology now today is that's just what it is. So when people see this,
folks were going live broadcasting
they start going live because, of course, they're saying, oh, she's beautiful. Look at the funeral line service. Oh, she's arriving, and then gunfire, pow, pow. And then just
unreal.
Imagine the people that are not even at the service. You're just, you know, on your way home at a stoplight and a horse and carriage scattered out in the middle of
amazing.
The intersection
just
way.
A story
and,
I've never heard of. Now, this was 2 miles away. Now, because you were still at the spot, so to speak, how did you catch up to the horses?
Of course, I had to call 911, you know, which is...
Boy, if I could just ask you to tell us how you made that phone call, what did you say?
Just thinking about it, I was in a panic. I was in a panic. You know, I said, hey, 911, you know, 911, this is 911 dispatch. I said, hey, my name is Andrea Woods, and I'm at a funeral service on Millersville Road, and our horse and carriage just took off. We need police. They said, yes, we had numerous calls. Who are you? I said, well, I am the tailor. Okay, I am responsible for that horse and carriage. Okay, well, we have, you know, police are on the way. So in the midst of that, law enforcement did very well. They brought whoever their crew was to calm the horses and get it turned around. But the gunfire, you know, the gunfire went for quite a bit.
It was, there were quite a few bullets being held around and all of that, which spooked the horses to begin with, so to speak.
Yes.
Now, let us kind of move this forward some. And you would think that's the end of the story, guys. You really would. But no, that's not the end of the story. What I am told and what has been reported, and it's just enough to blow our minds, Captain Smash, and that is that you kind of were blamed for the horses, you know, running away.
Yes.
And it's clear that you were not firing any guns. So how can you be blamed? You know, the fans out there want to know. But this is how we're going to explain it, and we're going to kind of leave that alone. But what happens when they hire the tailor who, as you mentioned, would be officiating with the live animals? And, you know, this is the thing. I tell all kinds of folks this. you don't know how an animal is going to behave.
Absolutely not.
So, you know, you can't figure it out. So I kind of would be reluctant to include them in my routines.
Yeah, but if we as people, as humans, are terrified of gunfire, of course the animals are going to be terrified. You know, the animals are very sensitive to noise anyhow. They are used as very delicate displays of peace. You know, these are what we use, the doves and the horses and the ducks and these things to accessorize what we feel is top-notch living. Yes? What we feel is top-notch living. What we feel is royalty. This is where we use these animals as pumps.
Wow.
And with that being so, we still, as the human, as in my position as the tailor.
Well, I find that this is
her.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I was just going to say it's just an amazing story, but would, you know, I don't feel that it should be the person's fault, but I do feel a couple things here. If they had suspected the family, to me, now this is what my belief is. I don't represent everybody's voice and opinion out there, just my own. But if the family knew that their members, some of the members, were reported gang members, then, you know, I don't think I would have such a public and open event as they further planned. And then on top, I just don't think I would have done that.
Well,
nothing is sacred these days.
Well, as a family, it was private. And, you know, it's private because he wants to be at his loved ones. Despite what people are saying in the world, he's being labeled as a gang member, but he still has family and loved ones that love and care for him.
Right,
as
but
well,
this is
her
the,
as
this
well.
Is. Yes, you have a point, Captain Smash, but this is how I see it. He has family members that he loves and loves him and he loved and so forth and so on. But if you really love them like that, then you need to make sure they are not in harm's way.
Yeah,
and see, that is where I kind of weigh in. To me, this is he placed his family and a whole lot of other folks in jeopardy, including an extension you.
Well, I don't think that was his intentions.
Right, no, well, it's not. I certainly don't think it's his intention to have folks shooting at him.
I believe that the family had a private service that was beautiful,
right,
that went well until they left that private site. And as on their journey to this grave site, somewhere in there, the young man, his rival or whoever it was, begin to stalk him. And at any time when they're out there like that, you know, it's just a choice for anybody in this business. You have to be mindful of yourself and safety because this is the door that we're kicking in the cosmology
realm,
because this is our position. That no matter who you are in dealings with, the loved ones always comes with, there's not even a word to define that once, you know, once it breaks news and it's saying, hey,
yes,
you know, you're constantly dealing with gang members and throwing services, and every 40% of your service are ending in gunfire, and we no longer want to deal. You get that? Because you, as the tailor, you're not aware of these people. You don't know. What you are aware of is what you're bringing to the table. What you are aware of is the money, whether you're doing low income, middle class, or high class. you know.
Well, let's ask one more question, Captain Smash. That, you know, with the gunfire at the breaking out during the transporting of the body on top of the horses taking off and running for two whole miles, was there anything in retrospect that you feel you could have done differently?
That I could have done differently?
No, that you could have done differently.
Because I am not aware of that she has a family member that's a gang rival, you know. I'm not aware of that they're so boldly and that they have no boundaries and will come anywhere.
Well, what about with the horses? Was there any part of that that you feel that maybe you could have taken a different route? Well, pardon the pun.
Well, absolutely not, because just as I was in fear, those horses were in fear. You know, everyone was in fear. Everyone was running. So
I would have taken cover too. But let me ask you a question. Were those horses, should someone have had a tighter grip on those horses, or should they have been kind of, you know, at all times? I think that you need to have them manhandled so that they would not have taken off or been unable to take off.
Well, as in a private service, you have the option of whether you want someone driving the horses and carriages. You have the option as if you want them, the horses were tailgated in between the vehicles. So I'm behind the horse is up front, and then there's a service vehicle, and then there's members, you know, family members, loved ones, whoever, in the funeral line, and the horse.
Okay. Wow.
So when the horse gets scared, you know, because it's doing its job. You know, is walking gracefully, peacefully. It's not like a long stretch to, you know. And,
yes, but who was the actual person with the, you know, the little thing in their hands with the, who was controlling the horses?
The
horses had the body, but who was the person leading the horses?
The service vehicle.
So the service vehicle.
There's a service vehicle that is not tied to the back of it. It's just like a hook.
Okay.
You know, so that way you're going at, you know, the pace, and it's all a scenery view.
Okay, but the issue became when the horses took off, what happened to the service view? Did it become unhinged?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, so
they're extremely strong animals, and we have them on a light. We have them on a light, you know, just to be walking there, and then come up and mount her off.
Yes, but Captain Smash, couldn't there have been a, you know, to me it sounds like there was not a strong enough connection with that service vehicle and those horses. So if the service vehicle, those are the folks that were responsible to get to make sure that that connection was secure, then that's who we, you know, probably is in part to some of the culpability.
Under my order, we want to just be responsible for, you know, all things.
As women, it seems like we carry the weight of the world on our shoulders, and that weight is directly balanced between your 2 feet. And with this balancing act, who do you think is suffering? It's not the kids. It's your feet. While running errands, paying bills, or dodging traffic, you could be ruining your feet. Wearing the wrong shoes for the wrong period of time can cause more damage than you think. Hammer toe and bunions are the leading deformities in black women, and Dr. Yolanda Raglan is the first black and only female podiatrist with practices dedicated solely to the correction of these type of deformities. So let this black girl do some magic and fix your feet. For more information, visit FixYourFeet.com, providing medically necessary surgery with a cosmetic result.
All right, we're back live. You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines on this Wednesday morning, July 28th of 2021. Trying to get in a couple minutes. We have Miss Tara. Tara in the morning standing by. Good morning, Tara.
Good morning, Carrie. Good morning.
All right. So there it is. That was Captain Smash from Indianapolis,
wow.
Indiana. What do you
say? Oh,
did you get a chance to hear what the story was about?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I did, Carrie. I'm just sitting here just in total shock. Like, how does this happen?
Yeah. And
oh,
there is video footage. There is video footage
what?
You can Google on the news from Indianapolis that you can see.
I started to do that.
Yes, there is. So what it is the story that there were runaway horses with a body on top going down the street along the highway. I mean, it doesn't get any crazier than that.
This is unreal. Was anybody arrested with all of that gunfire? Was anyone arrested or did they find out who it was?
Listen, I live here in Brooklyn, New York. It's not so, sadly, it's so much gun violence in the country, as everybody's aware. I'm not aware that anybody else has been arrested. But but I have one big question. What always came to me was whose fault was this?
I know.
Whose fault?
And I know. Yeah, because you
I try to get her to
sides.
Own up to the responsibility. I don't think I was
not
successful
happening.
In that.
Not
but,
happening. No.
You know, because they were just not
saying.
Aware.
Yeah, I get what she's saying because, you know, if you don't know, you don't know. And because she didn't know, and she sounds like she's a very prepared person. And it sounded like, you know, she had all her ducks in a row. Like she said, it was the family's wishes not to have anyone ride the horse, and it was the family's wishes to do this and to do that. So everything was spelled out, you know. But if there's nothing in there to fill in the blanks of the maybes and the possibilities, then how can you be prepared for that? So I completely understood what she was saying, and I understood what you were saying as well. That because you're dealing with these animals, certain measures has to be in place because
yes,
they're animals.
Exactly.
So
and
I
where
get
her
it on both
cousin,
sides.
He first went. See to me, the cousin was a reported gang member. Now this is alleged, so we don't know. I don't think we've ever figured
exactly.
out. But the cousin who attended
exactly.
the funeral, the very first funeral, he was an alleged member. So that is probably what I believe sparked all of this, where there were rival gangs coming and then shot the guns off and the horses went spiraling down the street. I can only imagine going to Sunday brunch and you look to the right and see horses running alongside your car with a body on top. It gets no crazier than that.
No
with nobody manhandling these animals.
There's
the dashing down the street. So to catch that, so folks in the cars were along the route just with their cell phone cameras out, there's a lot of footage out there. And it's, like I said, it's even on the news. So when you Google it, you'll see this story and see the reporting of it.
Yeah, I am going to do that.
Just,
I am. I just can't
crazy,
right now. I'm trying to. But you said something key, and you said something very key, Carrie. The mere fact that there was an alleged gang member that was a part of that family, and all that happened with that. That is that possibility that I'm talking about. The mere fact that you have, no, you don't know because we can't foresee what's going to happen. But because you know that information, I think certain measures should have been put in place because of the possibility of what could happen simply because he's there. Simply because of how she tragically died. You have that information. Does that make
and
sense?
And it's a shame that, you know, so I didn't look that he was entitled to be there. Yes, he was entitled to be there, but I think mm-hmm. if you really, you know, you kind of have to look at these things. So,
yeah.
Of course, I mean, it's just a deep, deep story, and I'm just blown away that
wow.
all of this kind of thing has reached this kind of level with
mm-hmm.
so much, and there's so much happening in our country right now with violence and gun
yeah.
violence and all this crazy stuff. So,
and we've seen in the news where
smash.
Gang members do you know, have gun battles, you know, at funerals. We've seen that.
Well, yes, we've seen
you know,
it, sadly.
So
there are all kinds of battles happening at those.
Yes.
That's true.
It's a possibility.
But what about this, though, Tara?
Mm-hmm.
And if you guys are just tuning in, we're talking this morning. We're live. It's Wednesday morning, the 20th of July, 2021, coming up on
mm-hmm.
8:30 in the morning Eastern Time, 7:30 Central for you guys out there. But what we're talking about is this amazing interview that just aired with Captain Smash. She's a going-home specialist out in the Indianapolis, Indiana area who was hired by a funeral home to provide a going-home service to this individual. And they had, you've seen where they have these beautiful horses with a body and all of this, carriage, horse, and buggy, and all this kind of thing. Unfortunately, there was gunfire at the funeral, and off went the horses running down the highway with a body. So she was explaining to everybody on the news and everywhere else what happened, because it was really her responsibility. I mean, let's just call it the way it is, to control
mm-hmm.
these animals. And when you have animals, let me just be the first to say, you never
mm-hmm.
know what an animal will do.
You
can never guess. Trust me, I have just one little pet doggy here, but you never can tell.
Mm-hmm.
You think,
yeah.
you know, I guess, I don't know, and I shouldn't make this parallel because I don't have any children, but I always say that parents always say they don't know what, I mean, they always say they know exactly what their children will do, and, you know,
listen,
they're always surprised.
Karen, I have four of them.
Oh, you're an expert then.
I put in all capital letters, you never know what your children will do. Carry
well,
on,
why
Gary.
Why is it that parents can never see or believe that, you know? And the poor kids are out, you know, mass murdering people and shooting up the world.
Yes.
And they can,
yes.
But you never see your kids that way. That's what I guess
you
it
don't,
is.
Because
we
that's
don't.
Not how we raise them. But they're individuals.
True.
You can put
You're
every
right. wow.
value, every, I mean, you could put it all in them. But they are individuals with their own mindsets, and they're not you. They come from you.
Wow.
But they're not you. They are individual people, and they make their own decisions. The only thing you can do is raise them and give them the tools that they need to be successful in life. The rest of it is up to them, and they make decisions. They
wow.
are individuals.
So
who
the
make
parents
up their
are
own
never
decisions.
Really responsible anymore for those decisions. Is that what
You're
I'm getting, Tara, this morning?
well, let me make that clear. You're responsible if you did not impart in them what they needed. If you did not take
Ooh.
The time to nurture that child, if you didn't take the time to talk to that child and listen to that child and be in that child's life and to be a parent and raise them and love them and care for them, then, yeah, you have to take some responsibility. But I'm one of those parents, just like millions of other parents, who have gone far and beyond, and they still did 123 degree. And I'm looking at you like, who are you and what have you done with my son?
Wow.
Like,
wow. Well, I think you've said it all. Wow.
Yeah.
I'm just blown
Ooh.
Away.
Oh, but back to what you were saying about your pet.
Yeah, no,
you
I think
know.
you've hit it on the head. You never know. And
you
that was
know.
My thing with all of that.
Yeah.
And to take responsibility for the actions. And now the other thing I wanted to ask you,
mm-hmm.
had you ever heard of a going home specialist? Because
no,
you're in Maryland.
Not until
and
today.
You're, farther south than I am. But what?
Yes.
Had you ever heard? You have?
I have not. I have never heard
of
a custom healer. I have never. And you know, and I think it's a great concept. It's a great idea. You know, because it gives us options. And she said something very key, that everyone is not churched. And let me make that clear. I didn't say not saved.
Ooh.
I didn't say don't know God.
Wow.
I didn't say that. Everyone is not churched. They're not into the church thing, the church scene. They're just not. And so it's good to be able to have options. I didn't even know this was available. You know, to have options where you can actually have a service, not in a church or a funeral home, but in the luxury of your home or somewhere in the funeral home or elsewhere, because you're actually being who you are and who they are. So I think it's a great option. I really do. I just think that everything has to be spelled out, and you just have to be prepared for the what ifs. You know, but I think
absolutely.
The concept is brilliant. It's brilliant. You know, and I know people who passed away, and they were not churched, and they're like, oh, my God, what are we going to do? You know, what are
yeah.
we going to do? So it gives them that great option. So I love it. I've never heard of it, but I absolutely love it. But I'm
yeah,
sorry.
I had
I'm,
never
I'm
heard
going
of it
way
either.
Of church.
No, I love it. I understand, and I support
yeah.
that. And I understand
I've
what you mean by
that.
Not churched. But because
yes.
some folks choose to say they're spiritual as opposed to,
yes.
you know, this and that. But my thing is this. I think when it comes to the other side and those going home type services, I, again,
mm-hmm.
had never heard of that.
Yeah.
Custom tailoring.
Yeah.
I think it's very interesting.
Yeah,
and again, this is not the accessorizing. And this is,
mm-hmm.
again, not someone who just does hair at a funeral home. I think we all know
mm-hmm.
that. But
yes.
To the level that she's talking about, this is as an alternative
mm-hmm.
in some cases
yeah.
to that. So
mm-hmm.
I think that's what just reminds me that the Hair Radio Morning Show, yeah, what it's all about. And being able to bring folks all kinds of information and folks
yes.
that you might have never come across.
Yes.
What do you say about that, Tara?
Yes. I would have never in a million years thought that we would be having this conversation on this show. You just never, ever know, which is so great. We talk about hair. We talk about resources. We talk about that. But it's a whole nother thing when we talk about real life, you know, real situations, real things that's happening out there in our communities, happening out there in the world, because we need to know, you know. And like I said before, we learn something every single day, you know. So I think that is wonderful. Yeah, I mean, it's so
wow.
broad, you know. I love it. I love it.
Well, listen, I'm going to get on one of our old classic songs. We're just going to go ahead and get this out there today.
Okay.
While we track down some of our guests on this program, we'll talk on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
Folks, stay with us.
Okay.
Right now, it's the one and only Prince. With, you know, I love this song. It's a throwback song, of course, When Doves Cry.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to say, Prince's hairstylist, of course, the amazing Kim Berry, has been on our show, and we play her interview
mm-hmm.
many times. We just love her and support her.
Mm-hmm.
She was with Prince for 29 years. Great interview. If you haven't heard it, we'll get it on again soon. Here's
mm-hmm.
When Doves Cry. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Yeah.
You're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. Now, we have a very special treat for you today. I have my next guest, who you may be familiar with. The Hair Radio Morning Show would love to welcome, and is quite honored to welcome, Donna Litton to the show. Donna, we're going to tell everybody about your claim to fame. Welcome to the Hair Radio Morning Show.
Thank you so much. Good morning. Good morning, Kevin. Good morning.
Yes, good morning to all. Now, Donna, let's start at the beginning. Now, many of the folks are familiar with the TV show Charlie's Angels. There has been, since the 1970 show, there have been several different movies that have come out of it. There's been other TV shows about the movie, I mean, about the TV show. There have actually been shows about the show. And the one big thing that kind of jumps out at me, being a huge fan of the show and of Aaron Spelling's work and all of the angels, everyone, is that the same song, which they kind of have just updated, even for the movies that have been produced by Drew Barrymore and her partners.
Right.
So what? Tell us a little bit about this. Now, the music, we didn't know there were words to this music.
Absolutely.
So, Donna, you are a singer. How did all of this come about? How did you end up having the words and writing or singing those songs, the song, you know, the words to this wonderful music that we recognize? Yes, the
theme. Well, let me start by saying my real name is Diane Carroll Linton. And I used to sing under Diane Carroll until Diane Carroll, the movie star, and the lady who also played on Dynasty. And so she became famous, so I couldn't sing under Diane. My last name is Linton, so I became Donna Linton because I heard the song Richie Valen, Oh Donna, and I liked it. So I became Donna Linton. And then I will say, just to continue, very short about me, my father's name is Charles Linton. He sang with Ella Fitzgerald and the Chick Webb Band.
Wow.
In the 30s. So that is like my heritage. I am a singer. My mother was a music teacher. She was a music teacher but also a concert pianist for a Russian group, Ukrainian National League. So it's like my father, my father was into the jazz, and my mom was into Russian music. So that's my background. But anyway, so
wow.
I continued singing, of course. And I wound up working at the Copacabana. I went to Australia, worked with Howard Keel. I went to New Zealand.
Oh, Howard Keel, who played on Dynasty himself.
Right, exactly.
Yes. He was Miss Ellie's second husband.
Yes. You know a lot from way back.
Oh, sure.
So it winds up that I worked with many people, Sammy Davis Jr., everyone, and then I came back to the States. From Australia, and I went on ships because I love ships. And I wound up meeting a man called Charles Stamen. He wound up being my husband. He was a Dutch guy. So I moved to Holland and then gave up my career here. So when I went to Holland, immediately they heard American Lady is here. And producers came to me and asked me, would you sing the title song to the Charlie's Angels? And the Charlie's Angels, the TV series, just came out in Europe. So of course I'm going to do it. So I'm the first one. We had a video clip about it. It was just me singing it is what the video clip is. So I was the first one that had a video clip. And I sang the song, the Charlie's Angels theme song. It became a hit throughout Europe, which is great. But I heard that the Ventures had the song for the States. So mine is a little bit different. Same melody, same everything, just with words. So the Ventures didn't allow any voice, so therefore for Europe it was okay. So I did it. Again, I say it became an instant hit, which is very nice. And then that was also, I'm thinking about, with theme songs, I started singing like Diamonds Are Forever, Shirley Bassey things. So they used to call me the Dutch Shirley Bassey, but I'm not. I do 70s, 80s. I like that better. Anyway, and then it wound up that later on, they heard about me in the States because I was living there, of course, with my husband. They heard about me in the States and that the Cheryl Ladd took the place of Farrah Fawcett. Cheryl Ladd asked, can she sing the song? And she had to get my permission. So, of course, I'm not going to say, yes, you can sing the song. I'm also an American. I can sing my own song. So they wrote it for me. And as I say, it became a hit. So naturally, if anyone's going to sing it in the States, which is where we are now, then it would be me. And I understand your radio program is in Brooklyn. Well, I was also born in Brooklyn. So that's also
interesting. That's right. Well, let me tell you something. Now, I remember Cheryl Ladd. If I recall, I think her name was Cheryl Stoppelmore before she married David Ladd. And I seem to also recall, I think she put out an album, maybe one, maybe two. I just remember one.
Right.
And I'll tell you something, and I know that she's sang here and there and so forth. But now, so, and Donna, I'm going to call you Donna. Now, where did the lyrics come from for the version that you sang?
I'm sorry to tell you that I don't remember the name. I'm pretty sure the last name was Ferguson. I have the record here, too, if I could find the record. But I think his name was Ferguson, the last name. It came from, I can't even tell you. I don't know if it came from a Dutch guy or if it came from an American. I'm not even sure.
Because I heard different versions of the song. It sounded like to me from different folks. And they could have certainly come way after you. And it could have been what you put out and they copy, you know how on the internet they do things like that. But
I'd love to know if they took my song and played it because that is not allowed. Sorry to tell
you. Well, see, that's the thing. And that's what I wanted to find out. I wasn't sure if it was their versions or who and how and when. But I'll tell you something. I want to talk about your version of this song because what I loved in it was that I felt, and you tell me, you're the singer of this song.
I felt
that it had a soulful kick to me.
Possibly.
That's what resonated with me.
That would come from me, I would think.
Okay, that's what I got from it. I got a soulful kick from the Charlie's Angels theme. And
do
I said, wow.
Do you have
it? It's on YouTube.
Oh, of course it's on YouTube. From Donna Clinton, of course. That is the original version. There's nothing before me except for the benches. Which
I loved
music.
It. So I'd
love to know. Sorry to interrupt you, which I always do. I would love to know if there were any other versions of my song. If they made
what you're saying. Yeah, well, you know what? We're going to let our fingers do the research on that one. Now, I want, let me just bring everybody up to speed. If you're just joining us, you're listening to the All New Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. Now, I've got a very special treat for you today. We're chatting with the lady who actually sang the theme song to the hit TV show Charlie's Angels. And her name is Donna. All right, we're back live. You're listening to the All-New Hair Radio Morning Show. That was a clip, Tara, my amazing co-star this morning. Tara in the Morning with Carrie Hines on this Wednesday morning, 28th of July, 2021. So what did you think of the Donna Linton interview from the Charlie's Angels theme?
I thought it was amazing. Yeah, you know, and I believe this came out like, what, 1977, 78, something like that.
Yeah, somewhere
in that area. And let me just say, she is so beautiful. Oh, my God. She actually could have been one of the angels in my view. I'm just being honest.
Aww.
She's absolutely
I'm sure she would love to hear that. And she's
beautiful.
Going strong still. Yeah. She's going strong. I was trying to get her to come
gorgeous.
To one of our live shows.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She was very, she's still, like I said, she's out there. She's still singing. You would never know this, but yes, she's still.
Yeah.
Now, what strikes me as interesting, again, this is not something, you've got to remember, a lot of these, they are playing to middle America. I always thought that theme song was a bit jazzy. I really did. I said, wow, that's really, I had no idea it had an African-American singer. And so yeah. that is remarkable all by itself.
Mm-hmm.
And they've
mm-hmm.
taken
I
off
agree.
Her voice so that you could not identify that.
Yeah,
in my opinion, that I can't say
accent.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah,
and then Cheryl Ladd, the one that played Farrah Fawcett's sister
mm-hmm.
on the show, tried to re-sing it.
Yeah.
And Donna
didn't
was like, I'm not having that.
No. No.
So
I don't blame her.
Yeah. So, you know, interesting stories here. So we've dug up a lot of crazy things here at the Hair Radio Morning Show. I love it. Because a lot
mm-hmm.
of these things are kind of taken for granted or folks don't know about. And they're wonderful anecdotal type things that, you know, for us collectively, we're able to kind of, and, you know, it's just interesting in my opinion, a lack of a better
yeah.
way to say it. So, Tara, we're talking
you know?
Here, yes, on
mm-hmm.
on some of these wonderful little things. I had a chance to talk about, actually, I think we played the song yesterday during the Vet Talk Radio show, yeah, with Michael. Yeah, it was our little treat for the angels. And
mm-hmm.
I really did mean it. We have quite a few connections. I also had met Jacqueline Smith's husband. He was her ex-husband. He died
mm-hmm.
not too long after I interviewed him, but I remember him very well. Very, very nice. He did a little interview
mm-hmm.
with us. I don't know what happened to the interview, but he was very, very kind, and he sent me an autographed copy with he and Jacqueline Smith on it. You guys know Jacqueline.
Mm-hmm.
She's on the commercials for Kmart stores.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're still out there. Did they go out of business? I don't remember.
I don't remember, but
she had her own line for years of clothing.
But I remember that. Yeah, I remember
You remember
that.
She
mm-hmm.
used to do all those commercials?
Yep.
So
yep.
very
and
interesting
they had her
folks.
Entire line. Her jewelry,
they
pocketbook,
did.
Clothes,
yeah.
shoes. Yeah, everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And it was some nice quality stuff. And came
well, you know
really
what?
Was.
That's
her.
What I was going to say. She was the
mm-hmm.
first celebrity to come out with a clothing line. So, yeah.
Yes.
So
mm-hmm.
Let me look up who her husband's name, because he was doing a lot of – he was on. If you ever Google his name and face, you will see that he was on a lot of TV shows. So I'm going to – some of the folks may – in those days, the character actors used to play on a million shows. So
yeah.
you would know who they were. Yeah, they were all
mm-hmm.
on so many TV shows. Let me see if I can remember his name, because we had a great conversation. He was very, very nice to me. His name is Dennis Cole.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't
Dennis
realize
Cole?
Jacqueline had, yeah, Dennis Cole is his name. Tall, slender gentleman with blonde hair. Very well known. You'll see his picture. You'll recognize him. If you were around at that period, he was on Vegas
okay.
and a million other TV shows. I didn't realize she had been married about four times. So you,
wow.
he's the one with the blonde hair. But, yeah, he
okay.
was very kind and just real good stuff, just memories from that period. Because when
wow.
you are young and you're watching TV, you're so impressionable by all of this and just real interesting
mm-hmm.
stuff. So real good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't, when you get a chance, take a look. But yeah,
okay.
really, really
mm-hmm.
interesting things and just little ditty, little notes here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. So real happy to have you guys with us. Now, I want to remind
yeah,
you, I want to remind everybody again, the 24-hour network that we're really, really happy about. Support us with our efforts. If you have not become a member of Hair
yes.
Radio, our Hair Radio Network, you can do so. We have several different options which are available. And if you go to our website at www.hairadio.com, hairadio.com, it's pronounced Hair Radio, but it's spelled with just one R, so it's hairadio.com. There's a big button near the top that mentions memberships. It actually says memberships on it. Click that, and it'll show you the available options. So we expect you guys to sign up. Sign up today. It's very, very reasonable. I think it's just $4.99, so it's not even $5
yeah,
a month.
Which is really good for a membership.
And you'll support
yeah.
us. Or even if you choose to get the newsletter, you pay one time, it's like $12 for the whole year, and just one time only, and support the company, support the show, support what you're listening to right now. It's important to continue this so that we can make it to our 700th show. We're coming up on show number 600 and a little over about 8 days of shows, so we're really excited, and we're going to keep you guys informed. So on the membership idea and all of that, what do you think, Tara in the morning?
I think that is wonderful. For one thing, with the membership, it's only $4.99. I mean, there's memberships, and I pay a lot more than that. Not on a yearly basis, a monthly basis, $15.99, $25.99 a month. So I think this is a great bargain. It's very, very affordable. And like I've said before, this is information that you're getting, especially with this newsletter, information that you're getting that you're not going to necessarily hear on the radio. So you can read it at your leisure. You know, it allows you to be a part of a family, you know, joining this VIP membership. So I think it's a great opportunity, and I think, you know, our listeners, you know, really, really take advantage of it. You know, it's so many things that you're doing, Carrie, you know, to make sure that people get valuable information in all areas, from online to memberships to newsletters, and we just need to take advantage of it. So I think it's great.
Absolutely. Well, listen, we are just here today and just doing our thing with everybody each morning. You can listen to us live on the air. I love that. The Hair Radio Morning Show, which is our three-hour broadcast, begins 6 o'clock Eastern Time, 5 o'clock in the morning if you're in a central time zone.
Yes.
Join us for great interviews, great hair and beauty talk, event updates, special guests, wonderful music, really great memories in almost 600 live shows, not repeat shows, as Tara mentioned, but real live shows, first run episodes of this broadcast, which is going to live throughout eternity. So this is a legacy to remember
it
that
is.
We're building.
Yeah.
So I'm real happy about that. And what we're going to do, we've got to remind everybody, now, tomorrow on Thursday's show, we have, normally we do kind of like some throwback this, and we kind of bring up some of our recent memories, but I think I have a special guest that we're going to get on the show, and you're going to love him, believe me, because he is, talk about legends and all that legendary status, so we'll bring you up to speed first thing in the morning on the next broadcast of the Hair Radio Morning Show. We want you to tune in. And remember, as the outro mentions, it does not end here. You can continue this wonderful conversation over at hairradio.com, HAIradio.com, where we play the very best full episodes and recent episodes of the Hair Radio Morning Show, Tara. So really good stuff, and special interviews and things that you just don't hear everywhere else. We actually have some of the we've got some new stuff loaded there, so do check it out. Tons and tons of things, and we're only building out every day. You never know what you're going to hear. So on that note, let me get the outro started. Tara, great job. Great job.
Aww,
you did wonderfully.
Thank you, Carrie. Thank you.
Yes.
I think it was a great show. Yeah. Very
well, yes. Now, did you have anybody you want to give a shout out to before we close out today? Tara, in the morning.
Yeah, really, just shout out all of our wonderful listeners who tune in every single day. You know, you log in, you sign in, you turn on your radio, and you listen to us every single morning with your coffee and your breakfast. And we just don't take that for granted. So shout out to you guys. We love you.
Yes. Awesome, Tara. Thank you. So we'll see you back here tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the outro, folks. Thanks again for making it happen.
Mm-hmm.
It's that time again to bring this edition of the Hair Radio Morning Show to a close. But it doesn't have to end here. Visit our website at hairradio.com and find out more about today's program's guests. Now, I want to thank our amazing on-air team and fan contributors, and especially our great sponsors, which include FixYourFeet.com, Rugged Evolution Beard Care, Smooth Black Ink, Stimulating Roots, Prestige book by Mr. Jarrell Glass. Now,
don't forget to come meet all of us in person at our live hair and beauty show. It's a HairNationExpo.biz event called The Road to Healthy Hair. It's being held at the Showboat Hotel in Atlantic City, New Jersey on Saturday, August 21st, 2021, Sunday, August 22nd, 2021.